Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/Tim. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/TIM.
CNN Plus, in less than 30 days, is being shut down. It's defunct. And Donald Trump has come out mocking them. Bless you, Trump. Thank you so much for saying what so many of us think. We hate CNN. We're glad to see it go. And I love it. Blue check journalists are like, well, people needed to realize that CNN Plus was the only news streaming service, and that was a bold bet. And apparently people just don't want quality journalism. Believe it or not, they're actually saying that. And I'm like, yo, Fox Nation has been around for 4 years and is fine. The Daily Wire is expanding like crazy, and so are we. Now, we do political commentary, but what do you think it is when Chris Wallace argues with Jen Psaki? Is that news reporting? No. CNN is trash, and they failed, and they deserve to fail. And Elon Musk is going to buy Twitter. Ooh. Lauren Southern's here.
Wow, thanks for having me. I'm glad you got that out of your system, Tim.
I'm so happy.
I don't think people realize that CNN, or they're just realizing that it was like the thing you watched at the airport because it was the only thing on. Like, no one's going out of their way to subscribe to CNN. And now we've got conclusive proof of this.
But you know, the amazing thing is the other day, Seamus was mentioning that it's like nobody watches CNN, so they're like, I have an idea. Let's charge them for it.
Yeah.
But wait. You know, credit to Seamus. It's actually worse than that. They were like, nobody watches CNN. Let's charge them to watch our B-sides.
Yeah.
Like, dude, no one wants to see Jake Tapper's book club. What? Like, we don't watch him as it is. Why do we want to watch him talk about his books? What were you thinking?
He's actually my favorite content creator. Jake
really?
Tapper.
Content yeah. creator.
There was some, man, I wish I could remember. There was someone on Twitter who was saying that we should refer to all of these media pundits as content creators.
Oh, yeah.
Just because you can't even imagine anyone referring to one of these people as their favorite.
I got the vibe.
Well, no, because they would get so angry by being called that. Like, I'm a journalist.
That's also
CNN
true.
CNN was
start
just
calling them influencers.
It's just good enough to maybe watch if it's free. That was the vibe I always got from CNN.
Well, it's just the default.
Well, so we got Seamus.
I'm Seamus. We just uploaded a cartoon today on Freedom Tunes. This video is currently in first place out of our last 10 videos. So I think you guys will really enjoy it. The audience is currently really enjoying it. I love you all. Go check it out.
What's up, dudes? I just rolled a 21.
Oh.
Get it going on. It's your 21st birthday today. Happy birthday.
Are you telling me you rolled a 20 and a 1 and it is at the same time?
It's April 21st, did you just say? All right, 21 for April 21st. Let's go.
Very expecting you to say, finish that sentence with a joint, not 21.
Yeah.
I just rolled a joint. No, I did not.
No, we're not going to do that. We're not doing that on this show. That's a different kind of show. Love Lauren. Right. Glad she's back so soon. Glad she's in the neighborhood. It's going to be a great show. Let's go.
Yeah, what do we look like? Joe Rogan with Elon Musk?
Right.
Anyway, guys, before we get started, head over to timcast.com, become members, because as members, you make all of this possible and you keep our journalists employed, and we actually need to hire many more journalists. So we're looking to expand our news operation. But it's not just about that. It's about our other shows, Pop Culture Crisis, Tales from the Inverted World. Chicken City has become a smashing success, and we just launched our first Chicken City cartoon, many, many more to come. And it's thanks to you as members, all this is possible. As a member, you will get access to exclusive segments of this show. We'll have a bonus members only show coming up at 11 p.m. tonight with Lauren Southern. It'll be a whole lot of fun. So head over to timcast.com, sign up, smash that like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends. And now let's read what Papa Trump has to say about CNN. Timcast.com reports Trump mocks CNN and low-rated Chris Wallace over failed streaming service, saying, quote, "It was like an empty desert out there despite spending hundreds of millions of dollars and the hiring of low-rated Chris Wallace, a man who tried so hard to be his father, Mike, but lacked the talent and whatever else is necessary to be a star. In any event, it's just one more piece of CNN and fake news that we don't have to bother with anymore," Trump continued. Wow. He said, congratulations to CNN Plus on their decision to immediately fold for a lack of ratings or viewers in any way, shape, or form. Oh, absolutely incredible. Bye-bye, CNN.
I can't believe he just threatened their safety like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's horrific. I will say, Mike Wallace was pretty awesome. That I agree with him with. This is like...
Could you imagine being Chris Wallace and being like, you're at Fox News, and then Brian Stelter walks up and he's like, would you like to do a show? And he's like, well, I think that sounds like a great idea. And then he moves over, and then within 3 weeks, he's fired.
I'm obsessed with reading all the articles about his mental state, like the updates. It's like Chris Wallace telling interns to read him the numbers every hour. Chris Wallace having mental breakdown. Have you not seen these articles?
That like he was worried about his ratings?
Yeah, he kept asking them to give him updates on the numbers every day. I would promise you that TimCast has more subs.
Do you think there are people out there who are like, you know, they're going to work? And then they walk up to the water cooler and there's like a dude pouring water and they go, hey, you see that Chris Wallace yesterday? Like, oh yeah, good stuff.
I gotta see what Wallace has to say, you know, every night I go home, what is he up to?
I think the definition of pathetic is when you care about what the audience thinks. That's appeals wants the audience to feel something. That's pathetic. I'm not 100% sure if that's the only use of it, but that's a big part of what
pathetic?
That word means. Yeah, it's
really?
Yeah, I'll double check all that. I want to look into it. But I did not know that.
Have you guys watched it at all? Like, you know,
CNN Plus,
jokingly bought a membership to see what's there.
That's not funny.
Hold on.
That's not a joke. Why would we do that?
Do you know what I can do with $3? I could do so much that's worth more than what CNN has.
Is it only $3?
They cut it in half.
Yeah,
because people weren't. Yeah, people weren't signing up for $6.
Within like a week,
so they reduced it to $2.99 lifetime or whatever. And I'm just like, do I want a cheeseburger or do I want to watch CNN? And I got to be honest.
People aren't paying for this. Like Tucker Carlson Originals is taking off. You've got lots of these things starting up. It would have to be pretty bad for them to say like, oh, we're not just going to change strategy a bit. We're going to cut it off right now, like 3 weeks in. It would have to be brutal. Like I'd be curious to see those numbers behind the scenes.
It was 150,000 paying monthly members. So if you're doing, you know, $6 a month or whatever, they're not even cracking $1 million per month. So, you know, they got a good amount of money coming in per year, but with a $300 million initial investment, and they were planning on putting $1 billion
into it. It's Warner Brothers, isn't it? Pouring money into it?
Warner Brothers merges with Discovery, and what they're saying now is they're like, because of the merger, CNN Plus didn't fit our plans, and we want everything housed under one streaming service. And I'm like, oh yeah? If CNN got 1 million subs in 1 month, they would not have canceled it. They would have been celebrating. CNN Plus failed because CNN Plus is garbage, because CNN is garbage, and garbage is not worth buying.
Well, it's not just that they're wrong. It's that they're boring. There are content creators who I disagree with, who I can tune into every now and again just to get their perspective on something.
Are you talking about me?
But, that's true. Yeah, exactly. Ian specifically. But the fact is, if you want people to pay for your subscription service, you have to have said something at least mildly interesting at some point in your life. And I don't think you'd qualify to work at CNN if you were capable of that.
Look at this. TimCast goes on. John Nicosia, the former managing editor of Mediaite, recently reported he had sources saying Wallace was having daily breakdowns over the state of CNN. Quote, source, Chris Wallace is having daily breakdowns over the miserable launch of CNN Plus, wants a CNN show or is threatening to walk, they go on. He is having staffers count how many times a day his promo is playing.
Woo! Oh, yeah, Lanta. Pathetic comes from pathetikos, which is Greek for subject to feeling, sensitive, or capable of emotion. It wasn't necessarily tied to an audience, but it was usually because of the way someone else treated someone.
I would not want to be Chris Wallace's agent right now. He's, you know, Chris Wallace on the phone. What's going on with my show?
I have a solution.
Like, oh, yeah?
You know what I would pay for? I would pay if they moved them, transferred all these people from CNN Plus to Disney Plus and, like, cast them in an early 2000s style Disney movie.
So bright.
Yes, like, Luck of the Irish.
Wait, why are you looking at me? It always has to go there.
They had these, like, horrendous, amazingly offensive old Disney shows from the early 2000s.
Yeah. Those were acceptable.
Everyone from CNN in one of those. And, like, as, like, high school people too, since they always cast adults as high school characters in Disney movies.
Chris Wallace, high schooler,
amazing.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'd pay to watch that.
To be honest, I gotta be real. If CNN Plus launched and their commercial was that all of the hosts from CNN's primetime and Chris Wallace would be like, CNN Plus was literally just them doing musicals, I actually would have subscribed to see it.
Yeah,
I'd be like, I'd like to see Brian Stelter pirouette.
Yeah,
you know, and it's a ridiculous thing I wouldn't pay for in the long term, but I'd at least pay out of curiosity one time to see what they're doing. Instead, they were like, Nobody wants to watch CNN. Let's put our behind the scenes garbage that's even worse for money. And I'm like, I don't want to pay to
Tim,
see that.
Why are you giving them ideas? I thought we're here trying to build culture. You want to encourage CNN to do it?
Actually, I mean, that might be a hit show. I'm not even kidding. You know, making them do some kind of musical number. People might want to laugh at them.
They will. Well, and to be fair,
CNN musical.
To be fair, they will say anything for money.
That's true. Yeah.
Will they sing anything for money?
That's a good question. Are they capable of singing? We can maybe throw some auto-tune in there.
CNN, hear me out. I got a pitch for you. It's a show where you get Chris Wallace for 1 hour, you get Brian Stelter for 1 hour, you get Jake Tapper, and they have to read the super chats, whatever it is, in chronological order.
Yes.
So that means like Brian Stelter would have to read exactly what someone sends him.
Yo,
I just want to say, you guys, we'd make $1 million a day.
Billions.
Every single one of those person's career would be over 5 minutes into the first episode, dude. Not even. So
that's the thing. What's missing is the interactivity between these people and the audience. Like a good journalist is going to respond to questions about what their journalism is, and these people are like behind a glass wall.
But
like,
it's not just the.
No, like the first super chat for Brian Stelter is someone would write, "I am a potato. I am a potato," and he'd have to read it, and people would pay good money for him to do that.
Is the thing. It's not just the interactivity of it. It's the personalities you're dealing with. Do you think people would really like write into Brian Stelter? I don't know, like maybe to mess with them or if they were reading it, but I just don't think these people are entertaining or charismatic enough.
Attention. If you owe the IRS, this is an important announcement. COVID relief is over and the IRS is ramping up like never before, sending out millions of collection letters to start 2024. Do you owe $10,000 or more or have unfiled returns? Now is the time to act. The IRS can garnish your wages, seize your property, and they can even take your home or your business. Don't let the IRS take advantage of you. It's time to call Tax Network USA. Their team of experienced tax lawyers has already saved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients. They know how to negotiate with the IRS and can help you too. Visit TNUSA.com or call 1-800-245-6000. Again, that's 1-800-245-6000. Don't wait until it's too late. Take control of your tax situation today with Tax Network USA. 1-800-245-6000. Call now.
Yeah, right. They're parroting a line of lies, I think, for the most part. I've seen a lot of stuff come out of CNN. The thing is, I don't want to say too much because I can't think of any one thing off the top of my head, but it's felt like they've been lying to me for a while or telling me stuff that's not true.
Whenever I've done TV shows, I've always been like, this is amazing. I just get to sit here and say whatever I want, yes. And people on the other side can't do anything about it. You just have to scream at your TV. You can't comment anywhere, nothing. I can imagine that feels like very powerful to them. And the idea of ever exposing themselves to the peasants in the audience who may throw tomatoes.
And that's what Twitter is, basically.
Above that.
Yeah. No. Right now, I mean, people are saying things about you, and you do not want to hear what they're saying.
I want to hear it.
I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it. Yeah. You think that you can escape? One says, "I love Lauren Southern."
Aww.
I'm going to smash the like button for that one.
Well,
tapped it.
Bad take.
No, on shows like this, people actually, for the most part, it's a bad take.
Everybody's nice, yeah.
Worst debunked. They rolled a
debunked. Source.
Source.
Right. Like if we're really in a psychological war, fifth generational war, and they're not using the best technology available to them, they're losing the psychological war. People aren't falling for it because they can't respond. They can't get through.
I think CNN wants to lie, and they don't want you to be able to call them out. If CNN had a show where there was a live chat next to it, and they said it would just be inundated with people being like, "You're wrong about this. You're wrong about this." We get people super chatting us being like, "Tim, you are wrong. Here's the
it's
fact."
Great.
And I'll read it. And I'll be like, "Oh, wow."
This is why Seamus is correct. Tim, you're completely wrong about this.
Seamus is tall.
Seamus is extremely tall.
Ian created a trend where he explained that in Dungeons and Dragons, a 1 is a critical failure and a 20 is a critical success. So now every time Ian says something, they either put 1 or 20 in the chat.
It's actually my new Twitter image now is a picture
I saw
of
that.
Myself.
I love that.
Yeah, it's incredible.
No, I didn't see that. I think I saw you post something and it was a bunch of 20s. Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Well, then you should. You go to my Twitter profile and see it now, and it is by M-Stock Design on Twitter. Thanks for making those images, man. That is fantastic.
Well, you're about to get some feedback, Ian. You're about to get the thing CNN is afraid of.
Guys, one's in the chat. One's in the chat, boys.
No, it's not true. Critical miss. No, they're rolling me once.
Oh, no.
Well, without CNN, what do we do? Where do we go?
Make another one.
I feel lost.
Well, we're already doing it. This is the reason why CNN is failing is because of shows like this and other awesome, like, shows where people can interact and relate to the audience. I think, and do good research.
Did CNN Plus, you know, I gotta be honest, I didn't actually look, so I don't know if they had any kind of interactivity. Mm-hmm. They might have. It's a streaming service. It was Wesley Lowery, who used to be with Washington Post. He did this big Twitter thread about how they were the only news streaming service, and it was a huge bet that doesn't pay off because regular people don't want to pay for good reporting. And I'm just Daily Wire has so many subscribers.
He said good reporting, Tim, not right-wing bigotry.
I'll be honest, if they could have paid their users to watch, that's another model that may have worked, maybe with crypto or something.
They did that with the airports. Mm. Yeah. Not really, but they force people to watch, if you know what I mean.
You know what I think, Tim? I think CNN Plus is actually failing because too many people are sharing passwords.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
everyone wants to watch it.
You know what I love, too, is how with TV ratings, they say, you know, 100 households mm-hmm. instead of 100, you know, people. So that way they're like, well, households could be 5 people. And or it could mean that the show wasn't on at all.
As if the whole family gathers around, sits on the couch to watch Brian Stelter together.
Yeah. Maybe in the 80s. I don't think that happens anymore.
Weren't they disparaging him?
Who?
Like the Discovery guys were like, Brian Stelter is terrible or something like that.
Ooh.
Really?
I mean, I got to be honest. I can't imagine. I'm trying to think of what kind of person looks at Brian Stelter and says, he should have his own show. Hmm. Like you listen to him and you're just like, we should give him a show.
I got a mixed feelings about him. I can't tell. What is the reason? Because when I look at him, I'm like, all right, he looks like when he has that really fake, there's a picture of him like doing the Joker smile where it's like,
yeah, his eyes are normal, but his mouth is open.
Why is that?
I got these scars.
Did he know somebody like growing up? Did he have his dad was connected to somebody?
My father was a reporter.
Like he worked Chris Wallace, his dad was Mike Wallace.
He worked for the New York Times.
Okay.
And apparently like he got a job there when he was really young. Yeah, I think he's the same age as me.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Crazy, okay. Right?
So did he really? Do really good reporting in the early days?
I don't know. He interviewed me after Occupy Wall Street.
Oh. Yeah, I don't hate the guy. I just he said a lot of weird stuff. And
I think he's a very, very bad person. You know, he lies all the time.
Yeah.
And he plays this, you know, ridiculous game.
I think when you're on a show like that, people who are willing to play the game and be loyal and not question things are almost more valuable than good reporters. Because there would be so many people that are new hires that just get jaded so quickly by getting that script in. And when you have a Stelter who's just like, I'll read it every day consistently, won't ask questions, lies, don't care. Like, that's more valuable to these networks is that loyalty to lies than good reporting to some extent.
The funniest thing about CNN Plus was that it was obviously failing to everybody with all the stories that were breaking. It was like a day after it launched, they announced that they were planning on just shutting it down. And I still saw these establishment journalists trying to promote it. Not even CNN employees being like, wow, really great stuff from CNN Plus. I'm like, no, it isn't. Shut up. It's terrible. What are you tweeting? Like this one guy who works, these institutional journalists, these university professors are tweeting videos from CNN Plus. And I'm like, that's awful. But I'm like, why are you trying so hard to make CNN a thing? Nobody wants to watch it.
Wasn't there a burger review guy?
What?
On CNN Plus?
What?
There was a burger review guy?
That's interesting. Yeah. Okay, wait. I'm not making this up. I'll find it. I promise.
So
yeah,
keep talking. Well, they need stuff like that. If they want to succeed, they need to branch out or out of politics into other cultural issues like sports and
I don't know. Well,
food.
They either A, have to do two things, all right? Stop lying, bring some interesting people on board, both ideally. But even if they do, I think their credibility has just been so completely destroyed that wouldn't even save them.
Or they could lie more.
Why didn't I think of that?
No, no, no. Tripling down. Is that what
if they came out and told news stories that were just so shockingly absurd, it would be entertaining to watch.
Like the Babylon Bee?
Right.
We'd be like, we are no longer a real news network. We are now satire.
Yes.
Like, could you imagine if Brian Stelter came out
and was
like,
change a thing.
The executives realized that we were on the border of that anyway, so he decided to dip one foot in and see what happens. Donald Trump did a backflip today, and he landed perfectly on target. He dove off of a 200-foot diving board into a kiddie pool.
Like techno music underneath his deliveries and stuff. Like if he really wants his news show to be popular, they got to put like a dubstep underneath him, you know, while he's talking.
I got to be honest. If they launched a show on CNN Plus where it was Brian Stelter arguing with a duck, I would pay for that.
Oh, 1,000,000%. 1,000,000%. And then you could almost like super chat in like with Chicken City and then like bread will drop like when the chicken's really winning. Like if the chicken's really got the best of him, you're like, dude, this is a point for the duck, man.
But when Brian's winning, you press a button and a donut falls down.
In the 1950s, they would always talk like this. And there was this weird thing. It's like, oh, golly, gee, dad. And then all of a sudden in the 60s, everyone took LSD or all these people and they like broke out of it. We're like, why do people sound? And then they started talking normal like we do. We're going through it again with this industry.
Wait.
They sit and they have this news delivery voice that they do. And you're like, what is this? theater. This crap, they're behind a desk with a tie on. You're like, what the? And then you see real people talking, and it's, we've shattered that reality again.
Do you think
cultural revolution?
I should put on a suit and talk like this. Term, today's news: Donald Trump did a backflip.
Yeah,
you, weird news.
You
voice.
Talking about? Are you talking about the Mid-Atlantic accent?
I'm not sure what that is.
No.
Okay.
So the news presenters. So for one thing, their microphones couldn't catch mid ranges as well. Mm. So they sound very squeaky and talk like this.
There's that, but then there's also the acting style where they were like, oh, gee, Pop.
Well, there was an actual accent that they developed at the advent of mass media. I think it's called transatlantic or mid-Atlantic.
Yeah.
And the idea was they wanted an accent that would sound familiar to everyone in the country.
Yeah.
Because there were different dialects spread out everywhere. And so a lot of public presenters learned how to speak this fabricated dialect. And then it fell out of fashion.
Well, the actors, they adopted what was meant to sound high class by adopting a British non-rhotic style of speaking without the harshness of the British accent. So they'd say, darling, where's my car? So the R's were basically dropped. And it was more of just like a taut thing. But yeah.
I would love nothing more than to see that stupid news speak just completely go by the wayside.
When they talk like this to tell you about the story, the thing that happened today, it's very weird.
I don't know.
Can you imagine if someone talked to you like that in real life? Like, what if you had someone on this podcast like, well, Tim, my opinion is that the drink that you have right now doesn't need those cherries. Like, what?
And Seamus. We'll hear more on this conversation in a moment.
Exactly.
Be like, what?
But like, at what point in time was that ever it seems like one of those things where because you couldn't get audience feedback, they just started talking like slightly more weirdly and never noticed how bizarre it was.
My guess
is I remember when I was, when I got a job working for Fusion, which is ABC, and they asked me to do live hits, and I would hear the other people be like, I'm standing here on the ground in Ferguson.
Yes.
Around me. Several protesters. And I would just be like, I'm here in Ferguson. There's protesters around me and people are pretty angry.
I don't know why you're talking like that. They're like, but he goes back. He tries to catch the ball, but he didn't. He missed it. I was trying to do the sports at like in my college.
It's like the way Vosh talks. There's a clip of him. He's like, I have been beset by fatigue. I must rest.
Well, I think it's on the left when we have that study where they talk down to black people. You saw that Yale study. What they like is people who sound smart. So you'll see this with a lot of feminists. They'll write in extremely verbose and confusing ways, and it's like really annoying. Instead of just saying outright like the dog jumped over the fence, they'd be like, a animal of the canine variety made a strong leap over an obstruction in the middle of a yard full of grass. And you'd be like, yeah, it's like meant to sound smart.
Just be normal.
It jumped.
It's like, it's like when you're 14 years old and you're trying to write an essay in your English class and you're just padding it. Like, how do I reach the word limit here?
Yeah, they give you word limits. That's part of it too, is you need to fill out a quota of words. If they were just like, write me the best story, and if you can do it in the short, honestly, the more concise and simple you can make a message, the better it is in general.
Yeah, it's funny because, I mean, most of what I do is cartoon writing, but I've done column writing in the past, and basically everything I was taught in my formal education about writing was completely wrong. Obviously, aside from the rules of grammar, but this idea that you have a minimum number of words, you're supposed to make it long and wordy, when in reality, people want what you write to be concise.
I think that we should begin to talk more like this and try to use a style of speaking that is more professional and enunciated, because then people will assume that we are smarter than we actually are.
Wise words.
Yeah. Well, Tim, frankly, I prefer the newscaster way of speaking. I think it's much more intelligent. Studies show that you're wrong.
Real
question, like, why do they talk like that?
I think it all came from the original newscaster that did it, and then he just created a genre, and people didn't they just started copying him.
He, like, sustained some kind of head injury as a child, so he couldn't speak normal, and they heard him like, that's how he was talking. That's how I'm going to do it.
How it's like Nirvana came out and then all these other bands started sounding like Nirvana.
Well,
similar with
that's
the
different. That's because record labels started taking those bands specifically. They existed.
Yeah.
But there is the story of the King of Catalonia. So in Spain, there's the Catalan Lisp.
When I was in Barcelona.
Yeah. When I was in Madrid.
Oh, yeah.
This is funny. I went to Madrid and I said cerveza. And then this guy goes, no, cerveza. And I went, really? And he's like, sí. And I went, oh, okay. And then I said cerveza, and someone started laughing, and they were like, no, cerveza. And I was like, all right,
Come on, man.
The legend I was told is that there was a king who had a lisp, and so everyone was like, ooh, I want to talk like the king. And so they all adopted the lisp.
And Chile also.
Chile, if the habla, I don't know.
I've got a theory. So, like, obviously, journalistic ethics are supposed to be neutral when you're discussing stories. So maybe they just thought, if I sound neutral while saying extremely biased false things, people will assume I am neutral on the subject.
Donald Trump is a fascist. Mort 11.
Donald Trump drowned 17 kittens, according to an anonymous source.
If you say it like that and you're not like seething and screaming, then people will be like, wow, newscaster person told me fact.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe, you know, it would be fun if we actually launched a semi-satirical column that's true, but in like not the right kind of way. So like what I would do is I would go to Nancy Pelosi's office, find a homeless guy near her office and ask him to say things that were ridiculous. And then I would quote him and say, a source near Nancy Pelosi's office confirmed. So it's like, hysterical. It's true, but like, not right.
I love that.
Nancy Pelosi
eats raw fish, a source close to her
office.
Do they
do that? Do they like go next door to Nancy Pelosi's office, like two guys, and then the one guy asks the other guy a question, and then... Because it's legal, right?
They do stuff like that, but not that overt.
They have one guy go inside the building and talk to him from out the window, and he goes, an inside source told me.
Source inside, yeah. Nancy Pelosi's office.
We're laughing, but yes.
That's what they do.
They use semantics to make statements of fact that are judgment-proof.
Dirty.
Yep. Another theory I have is if you are less human on air, then people go after you less if you're not a personality and you're just kind of like this NPC. Have you guys ever watched, Best of Enemies, Gore Vidal versus Buckley?
No.
Buckley is a good example of a transatlantic accent, by the way.
Well, in 1968, they had these debates on ABC, I think it was. They were like the first live debates during elections and they just went at each other. And I think they all ended when Buckley called, Vidal a,
did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. FastGrowingTrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Tim Pool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that number is 877-646-5347.
Can I say the F
word? No, no, you can't.
No, I can't.
Well, you can allude to it. There's an F involved.
There's an F involved. And then the other F slur was thrown by Vidal towards Buckley called a fascist. Well, and then they like clashed and it like ended. And I think all of these other newscasters were like, ooh, we don't want to get that messy. That was like too real for us.
He also, he said he called him that, the word that would get the stream taken down. And he also threatened to hit him because I believe he called him a Nazi, even though Buckley was Buckley.
He called him a crypto fascist.
Yeah,
so Gore Vidal was a far leftist, and Buckley was founder of the National.
So
if
it's been that long and this stuff's still been happening, perhaps we're going to be all right.
Yeah.
Well, they you should watch the movie. They're like just fantastic debates. We just have nothing like that on TV anymore. That was like great television.
He was editor of National Review.
Yeah. Why didn't CNN Plus do that?
I know. Yep. I know.
You know what would really boost CNN's ratings right now? If they just had on people like Alex Jones. Mm. If Brian Seltzer really wants ratings, he can bring on Alex Jones.
Do a Gore versus Vidal. Vidal versus Buckley, but with Jones and Seltzer.
And it's got to be in studio where they can't cut each other's mics and stuff like that.
That would be intense.
And I say do it live, but good luck. But that's what they got to do. If you want to step up to the plate, you guys really want to contend with what's happening in reality right now, do it live.
Someone just had to keep Lauren away from the whiskey.
I went over there and there's nothing to mix the alcohol with. I was so sad.
Mm. What do you mean?
There's nothing to. You got espresso chocolate and then just hard liquor.
I guess you can put the whiskey in coffee.
I could. I'll be right back.
All right. Let's talk about Twitter though. We got this story. Elon Musk, man. From TimCast.com, Elon Musk secures financing of $46.5 billion to complete cash purchase of Twitter. So here's the gist of it. Elon Musk made an offer. He said, I want to buy this company. The board did not respond. So he raises the cash and says, I've got the cash now. I'd like to negotiate. If they don't, he'll move to a tender offer where he just outright says, I'll buy the company for $46.5 billion. So everything he's doing seems to be strategic and planned out for some time. Elon Musk filed the SEC paperwork on 4/20. That is not a coincidence.
No, it's not.
We know this man. And so I'm willing to bet with that. Look at this picture we got of him. Look at him. Look at him smiling like that. He knows what he's doing.
I love him so
he's
much.
Got a plan. Oh, Elon Musk is great. I strive to be at the point he has. I wasn't the biggest fan of him several years ago and moving forward, but recently, the way he's engaged on Twitter, the things he's been doing, I'm just like, I hope that we can have a company that engages in the kind of culture jamming that he does, that we can get to that point where we buy a company because it's doing bad things and we fix it. But my point is, I think in the next week or so, we may actually see a major move because if he actually makes a tender offer, then they have no choice but to open the floor to bidding because they have a fiduciary duty to their shareholders. He's ruffling up some feathers, man. At the very least, he may drive up the stock he owns and make a bunch of money off it. But I think he's going to win. I think one way or another, Elon Musk wins this one.
When did he mention that he was coming in on it? Was it early April? You guys remember the exact day? Because it was April 1st is when the stock started to spike, or is it March 31st?
Was it the 8th or something like that? Let me see if it's.
I wonder if people knew ahead of time that he was coming in on that, but the stock just started to rise from $40 on March 31st, and now it's sitting at like 46.
I bet somebody knew.
50. Man, he is the most valuable thing that could ever happen to that company at this point.
Morgan Stanley.
Honestly, I think they're going to do everything to push him out because their agenda at this point, for some bizarre reason, isn't to make money.
Some
to
get of their agenda
across.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I can't imagine someone who'd be more competent there. He actually values allowing people to express themselves freely on that platform.
Well, Seamus, Morgan Stanley is reportedly coming in at nearly half the cost. We'll have more as the story develops.
An exciting development. We'll be hearing about that after this break.
So is that $26 billion, or what is it, $23 billion they're looking at coming in with?
I think Elon's putting in, 21 of his own? Do we have the numbers here? Let me pull it up.
I just got a message from Michael Robison. Robison, what's up, dude? April 9th was the day that he announced.
April 9th, right. Right, so I think he did it on April 8th.
Is it Robison or Robison? I asked him the other night, too.
Well, I don't know.
Michael Robison.
We'll call it whatever. Let's see. Do we have the numbers in the actual filing? It's just too many letters for me to scan through at the moment.
Well, you know, there's no wonder that they're not in it to make money, seemingly. You look at the board members that have been published, mm-hmm. and they don't own that much stock. There are people on the board that own zero stock of Twitter. Yeah, it was published, and Elon even commented on it himself. He's like, what is going on here?
Yeah, 0.002% of the company, and they're on the board.
0.0000. And look at... how Jack Dorsey is behaving right now, too. He's randomly become based. He's, like, speaking out against CNN. He's talking about how there's issues behind the scenes at Twitter. I wonder what he knows that we don't about what's happening.
But clearly his money is more important to him.
But he's also in a legal battle, isn't he? So there would be legal implications.
Legal battle?
I'm sure. Oh, it's Robinson, Michael Robinson.
Sorry, not
Thank
a legal
you,
battle, but he'd have documents he would have signed, non-disclosure, all these things yeah. that he couldn't.
That's write. What
I'm saying. His money's worth more to him. I mean,
he's being real subtle.
Yeah.
But it's okay. 21, his job.
$21 billion from, I believe, from Elon Musk himself. $13 billion from Morgan Stanley. Let's see what else there's. $500 million from Senior Secured Revolving Facility in an aggregate commitment amount. I don't know. I think Morgan Stanley's doing 13. He's doing 21. And then there's a loan and some other numbers. But Morgan Stanley's coming in big on this. I think anybody who sees what's going on knows that Elon Musk taking over Twitter is money to be made. How many users have left the platform because of the banning of Donald Trump? Talk about the worst business decision you could ever make.
Well, I think bringing him back on is also a weird decision. I mean,
why?
Because getting in there and just starting making editorial decisions about who can and can't be on the network is not the way to go forward with that network.
Right, it's you open it back up to people for free speech.
Yeah, that's one way to do it is unban every account on the network and start from scratch. You could do that and then free the software code so other people can spin up other Twitters with their own terms of service.
You unban accounts that were banned for political reasons. Donald Trump was banned because he said things that they did not like. He did not do anything illegal. Anybody who's done something illegal, you don't want on the platform.
Okay. Well, this is a long conversation. There are a lot of things you shouldn't be able to do on social media, in my opinion, platforms that are legal, like, alluding to child pornography, for instance.
What?
It's free speech. You're allowed to talk about it and show, not allowed to
show
images
of it. Yes, you're allowed. So
you're allowed to spam people. That's not illegal, but it also destroys a social network. So there's things that you have to go outside of the law to
and you can block them. And Elon Musk wants to verify humans to deal with the bots and the spam, and Twitter won't take care of this.
Okay, now that's something because people make new account, and then you and just keep spam.
That's right.
So they go after like IP addresses and ban IPs and stuff.
And if they did verified only, which you can do, when you're verified, you can say only show me verified mentions. So you don't get spam bots. But regular people don't have that, making it a hostile, terrible platform to be on.
Who's verifying? That's another question.
You have to have a connection to an official news network to get a verified check mark, which is wild to me.
I got verified because Vice made a phone call.
Yeah, exactly.
So I had like 35,000 followers. There were a bunch of activists asking why I wasn't verified. They were like, hey, Tim's been featured in these magazines and he's a journalist. Why isn't he verified? But why is this guy with 500 followers verified? And Twitter, I actually was invited to a party in Silicon Valley. And there was a guy who worked for Twitter who was there, and I asked him about it, and he was like, oh, it's just we got to get around to it, so we'll probably get you because we're just going through. But it's BS. Vice made a phone call, and then I instantly had a verification check mark.
He's lying. You actually have to be a member of the CIA.
Yes.
That's how I got mine.
Right. So
we're big fans.
With Elon Musk's plan, it's if you're paying for the service, Twitter Blue, you get verified. I completely agree with that. $5 a month. And what happens is when you...
Anyone. Anyone can be verified now if they pay for that service?
Elon Musk's plan is that anybody who has Twitter Blue gets verified.
I don't know. That's just a social
network
for rich people.
I don't know if that's helpful.
I agree with it.
Really? But like, the verified thing is just to detect like who's a fake account or a copycat of a big figure that would get a lot of copycats. So
it'll deal with sock puppets and it'll deal with spam bots. So one person running 50 accounts won't be able to have a check mark on all of his accounts, only one of them. So that right there, what people don't understand is cancel culture works because of sock puppetry. One activist will operate 50 accounts through different phones. So they have different IP addresses and different MAC addresses. And then they'll start spamming you. And other people will have fake accounts to spam you with and lie. Under his plan, a regular person can spend $5. Just $5. You can go on, not everybody has it, I know, but the people who want it will get verified. And then you can say, I only want to interact with other people who are verified.
And bot farms couldn't make money off of that.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like people don't realize, but literally in third world countries, they just have these farms of people. You can pay $100 on websites to get 1,000 tweets of whatever you want, 10,000 likes. It's dirt cheap.
So there's videos showing how they'll have like a wall with cell phones every inch.
Yeah.
And they're all signed into different accounts. And you'll say, I want 100 tweets telling this person that they're a bad person. And they'll go, okay, okay. And they'll say things like, this is terrible, you suck, this is not it, wrong. And corporations see that and they panic like, oh no, people are yelling at us. We better cancel our sponsorships with the H3H3 podcast because he's bad. And then they do it.
I have a post on Instagram that has over 30,000 comments all saying the exact same thing. Wow. Like, you wouldn't think that's possible. Someone would have had to pay a pretty penny to do that. It's all saying I'm a man. I don't know why someone would pay to do that. True in Canada, but.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought you had that legally changed in Canada.
Yeah, I did.
Seamless.
There you go.
So confirmed now by bot farms.
Pay to play social networks aren't my favorite idea. No, I understand the short-term value of it, though. But you could still have the CCP or the U.S. government could pay $600 million to get a bunch of people verified and then trick you into thinking that they're not bots.
In order to be verified, you have to pay. You have to have an account where money is coming. So they would have to verify you.
Yeah, but I'm saying that money could come from like a nefarious actor.
Right. I'm just saying Elon Musk's plan is to have you pay and they would verify your identity. It makes money for them. They can cover the cost of verifying you.
Couldn't they just do what Facebook does, which I don't like because it plays into all the digital ID stuff, but you have to upload like your driver's license to have an account so no one can create multiple accounts.
They do that?
You haven't had to do that on Facebook?
No. Oh. I've had Facebook.
Apparently the CSIS are just trying to get my ID, I guess.
There's pluses and minuses to both. That whole thing like tracking you and knowing who you are and where you are has its value because you're on the network now and people can find you. But the downside is if the government goes crazy and you need to do some Revolutionary War stuff, then you don't want them to know. Like Ben Franklin, if he'd been on Facebook, the feds would have came to his house before the revolution ever kicked off.
Oh, it's almost too late now because people think like, oh, digital ID is just like linking your accounts with your, you know, real life ID, all of this, like having your face scan, fingerprints, but it's more than that. They can now detect your digital identity by your typing habits, the pressure you put down on your keyboard, on your smartphone. So
your mouse movements.
Even if you're anonymous, living in the woods somewhere, they can detect mass data sweep of who's got the same pressure points on their smartphone.
The code of the network. Oh, that's a good point because it's the phone itself. The code of the networks need to be free, copyleft licenses, so you can see if they're giving that data away. But then so does the phone data. The phone software code needs to also be free so you can see if the phone itself is doing it before it even gets to the program and it's sensing you. I like this freedom phone concept. I haven't used one yet, but phones like that.
And I would agree, but the question is, how do you get the average person to really care about it enough to make consumer decisions that will cause companies to change the way they manufacture these things and the way they give your data out?
The evil way to get people to do it is fear. That's been the go-to way for a lot of authoritarian. The right way to do it is build something that is so amazing that they want to use it instead.
Mm. I think we could make a cheeky authoritarian government, Ian.
It'd be fun.
It would be really fun. I think we could set it up well.
Like a good bit.
I would
actually really good bit.
I'd actually be really interested to see an Ian authoritarian.
Authoritarian Ian.
Stratosphere phone like, delivery, man.
There would be like a guy, like the cop is wearing like tie-dye armor. And he walks up to some dude wearing a suit and he goes, where's your crystal? It's right here. And he pulls it out and shows it.
It'd be the one where they're like, Ian, we want you to be king. And I'll be like, I'm stepping down. And the software code is free.
No.
Just like George Washington.
I mean,
what if they tell you to step down? You're like, I'm going to be king.
Oh, okay. Psychological warfare.
That's right.
Reverse psychology. I'd step down.
Ian
is the
dictator.
I'm here to do what's right.
Once a week, you have mandatory DMT. You know, once a month, you have to do extended state DMT. The guards are wearing like, they're, you know, tie-dye armor with, you know, tie-dye guns. And they're like, right this way, dude. And they burn
it down. Mandatory meditation.
If DMT was legal, would you do it?
No.
Is it not legal?
I would not.
In the right environment, right, certain places, medically it is.
Some places, like spiritual, like, I don't think DMT outright, but like ayahuasca is protected, I think, under some Native American protection and religion laws and like peyote and stuff. But regardless, I would not.
Dude, what were you going to say?
Oh, no, I don't think I would.
Oh.
MBA. We're a bunch of squares.
Ian, your court system, your judicial system, and the authoritarian society would just be rolling a dice and be like, it's a 1 or a 20, man. It's a 1 or a 20.
We do need an upgrade to our judicial. Our entire system needs needs an upgrade. I mean,
they're facing execution. You just look at them. Ever played D&D?
Like, roll initiative.
Yeah.
See what he gets.
You roll in your court case like the prosecutor has rolled a 17.
What I want to do is bring American ideals, basically constitutional ideals, to the world. if we could, but I don't want to do it through a war. You know, that's what they've been trying to do for the last 70 years, and obviously it's not working.
You're going to talk them into it?
Maybe. Maybe yeah, bro, you could, like, encourage them to change. I don't know. The Arab Spring looked like it, but they didn't fall. We didn't help them.
Let me ask you a question, Ian. What would you do to convince Seamus not to be Catholic?
Be my best self.
Okay.
But then you'd become Catholic.
No. Wait, hold on.
Catholic Church.
What is it? I'm asking you a literal question.
I don't want him to not be Catholic.
Then how? So is what you need to understand about the war and stuff that goes on in these countries. You have a bunch of people who couldn't do jumping jacks. You guys see that video when we tried training the Iraqi soldiers? They could not do jumping jacks. They weren't jumping jacks. It was the military version, whatever they're called. And they were trying to train. It was the Afghan Armed Forces. I'm sorry. Did you see this video? And they're like, they're going like this. And the guy's like, hands up. Hands down, and they go and start like swinging one arm. Like they just could not do it.
We could bring Islam and Christianity together. I think Islam needs a reformation.
Project, no.
You know, hold on.
Come convert to us, but
hold on. I think Ian's right. We got to send him to Palestine right away.
Well, I'm not talking about running up to the crowd and be like, change. I'm just saying that I think there needs to be like a cohesive, you know, unification of
the
concepts.
You guys have a hot take. Christians have more in common with Muslims than they do with atheists in America.
For sure.
Oh, Allah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, on some matters, but then a lot of atheists are running around with Christian moral foundations and just don't realize it.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about like that step between I don't believe there's a greater power that controls our civilization and life and soul to I believe in God, and that dynamic is so big that, you know.
Monotheism. Agreed. Yeah, Judaism as well. It's all wrapped into this monotheistic concept.
It's not even about monotheism in my opinion. It's about believing in something greater than you.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, whether it's the rights of other people, whether it's a God or an afterlife. It feels like very much what separates the left from the right in the modern context is whether the world is about you or the world is about everyone.
I liked Martin Luther because he seemed to see that it was about his connection to God directly and less about going through a church. That I liked a lot. If we could bring that to Islam as well, I like that.
Why
Christ built a church?
Why does the media lie? Because they believe the destruction they cause is justified for several reasons. One, either they want to make money. They care more about themselves than the greater society. Or two, they think their vision of the world is better than yours, which is once again about them.
But that's so interesting because they obviously used to be, you know, for the group, for the leftist kind of perspective was the union, the people, but that's completely shifted. And I think that's why, I saw someone tweeting about this, that they wanted libs of TikTok censored because they used to have the working class union man and that has been the power of the left and they are losing that fast with these people seeing what is going on with these like hardcore individualist liberals in schools.
You have the populist expanse on the right is resulting in some left economic policies finding their way to conservatives. You now have Tucker Carlson bringing on the guy who formed the Amazon Union and saying, good for you. Amazon's a big evil corporation. And I'm like, I agree with Tucker. I think Amazon is absolutely terrible. We're all addicted to it because of its convenience, but boy, are they nasty. And so Tucker is now like, you know, I've disagreed with unions in the past, but I appreciate you guys sticking it to the big evil corporations. And then you have the left cheering for Saudi Arabia, cheering for China, cheering for Disney
in the House. Yeah. They're like, give them tax cuts. What is going on?
That was amazing. So the House voted, you know what? Do we have this one?
Get that video up. I'm going to go get some.
I don't know if I have the video pulled up, but in the House in Florida, they voted to take away the special governing privileges and tax privileges from Disney. And the activists were like, no!
Give the corporations power!
Give the corporations 20% off their taxes!
The Colorado governor wanted to bring Disney to Colorado. He was like, hey, we'll set you guys up. And basically what I'm thinking is, yeah, right. Like if Disney goes to Colorado, spends billions of dollars building Disney World Plus or whatever they want to call it. And then a new governor gets in and is like, we're shutting down Disney's special privilege. And like, what does this guy think is going to happen anyway? He wants to bring him out there and give him access to build nuclear power plants again. I'm not seeing it.
So this is the video we have here from Twitter. It's about, the Florida House was voting to strip Disney of their special privileges, which would be like their special governance abilities, their ability to police or build nuclear power plants and special tax privileges. And we ended up with this protest. Let me make sure we have the audio appropriately configured. All right, you can't really hear them, but they're apparently chanting, "This is good trouble. This is necessary trouble." This is from a reporter from the Orlando Sentinel. So you actually have the left. They are in the chambers protesting that one of the largest corporations in the world is losing a tax cut.
Good. They're allowed to do it, and I support their right to do it. I don't agree with the message, though.
No, I think
that they're cultists for the corporation, and they probably have Mickey Mouse plushed animals on their couch and stuff.
We all recognize their right to protest. We are pointing out the psychosis that is occurring when the left is like, corporations should have tax cuts.
People are obsessed with Disney, dude. Some people are.
You're cruising down the highway. Windows rolled down, tunes blasting from the radio. You're in the zone and living the dream. Suddenly, your car sputters, coughs, and throws a wrench in your whole day. Tow trucks, repair bills, the dream turns into a nightmare. Don't wait until car trouble steals your peace of mind. Visit CarShield now at carshield.com/Carlson. For nearly 20 years, CarShield has helped millions of drivers avoid the stress of major repairs. They offer plans covering up to 5,000 parts and systems, from your engine and transmission to electronics and more, all for a low monthly rate that fits your budget. CarShield plans also include unlimited miles, 24/7 roadside assistance, and rental options. Get peace of mind now. Visit CarShield online at carshield.com/Carlson. Join millions of customers and contact CarShield now to save 20%. Visit carshield.com/Carlson. That's carshield.com/Carlson. Visit now.
It's a mutually... Oh, sorry. Ian.
No, they're truly... It's like a cult of Disney. They have stuffed animals of Ariel the mermaid and stuff. Like, what the heck?
I would say it's not exactly that. It's almost this mutually parasitic relationship. The left sees Disney as a vehicle for promoting their ideas, and Disney believes that they can extract some profit from left-wing audience members if they promote those ideals. And as soon as either doesn't need the other or they rise to power and get what they want, they're going to throw each other under the bus.
Yeah, it's tough to tell what these specific people, what their intentions were. I don't know if they were trying to support evil.
No, they were
just
saying
sad.
It was racist.
What?
Mm.
What a shock.
So I guess this protest wasn't actually about Disney, though. So I think this one, there was a protest. I'm pretty sure there was a protest about the Disney thing. Apparently this one was from the Black Caucus or something in Florida. I think this is not actually.
Did you just give me fake news? If you're going to be fake news, you have to go, today Disney was protested.
I can send you the video on
Let me see if
Twitter.
I can pull up.
They were chanting, fight back at the
Yeah, but I think that might have been something different, maybe.
No, let me grab it.
Disney is way too powerful. They're way too,
yeah, see if you can find
the
video.
Powers. They're way too wealthy.
Oh, they're way too powerful. I hear you.
I don't know if power is the right word because money isn't going to
What I saw on Twitter earlier was people saying that they were protesting the Disney thing, like the Disney vote was happening. But the Orlando Sentinel says they were protesting something that would remove Black Democratic lawmakers or something like that.
So you guys think we should break up Disney, the monopoly? Hmm. Is it a monopoly yet? It owns Marvel. It bought Maker Studios after I was building that thing.
Okay. Well, right. FloridaPolitics.com says House passes bill ending Disney Plus carve out, gavels out amid protests.
Okay, look at what I just sent you. Sorry.
I can't pull it up on this computer. Can you tell me how to find it?
On Twitter?
Yeah, what's the tweet?
I'll retweet it.
Listen to that. Dead space. Hot air.
Sorry, bad with interrupting.
Who owns Disney? That's what I'm looking up right now.
What's your
@Lauren_Southern. This was all an elaborate plot to get people to follow my Twitter.
Underscore.
I can't believe you're still on Twitter and still verified.
Vote on these two bills.
I don't know how.
It is my hope that we will be able to proceed civilly and with decorum and with respect for one another. Read the next bill.
It's like the 1800s.
By Senator Bradley, Senate Bill 4C, a bill to be entitled an act relating to independent special districts.
No, I think they're protesting something about...
No, independent special districts is the territory that Disney is on.
Right, but the people are yelling something about Black people standing up and fighting back. I think what happened
is this. So it spilled into the second one?
Look at the headline here. House passes bill ending Disney Plus carve out, gavels out amid protests. You see what they do? They make the story about that, and then they say it's amid protests, so you assume the protests are actually about Disney.
Keep playing that video, though. Let's see if they are still yelling about... Oh, I can't hear it.
Yeah, I think the sound was cut.
I mean, look, she's making good
Representative
points.
Representative Fine, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
I can't hear what they're saying.
They're saying something like, when Black lawmakers are under attack, what do we do? Stand up, fight back. I wonder if there's a quote in here, because...
Yeah. Okay, well, maybe you caught me on some fake news here. That's good.
Like, dude, if you're going to do fake news, you have to do it in the newscaster voice, Lauren.
So no.
That's the mistake I made.
I don't blame you for it, because this is exactly what I saw as well. They're like, all of these people were tweeting, they passed the bill cutting out Disney's taxes amid protests, and you can't really hear what the protests are saying. And when you look at news articles that frame it this way, can we pull this one up again? When they literally say they passed the bill ending the carve-out amid protests, they're manipulating you into thinking the protests were about that.
I am not fake news. I am a victim of fake news.
Yes. Yeah, really. I've gone through that a lot, writing articles with mines in the early days. Like, at what point do you have to pass the buck or take responsibility when you read a fake article and then you present it to the masses?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they said the protests began as Democrats' debate time expired on the bill to pass congressional maps drafted by DeSantis' office. Democrats called DeSantis' involvement a breach of the separation of powers and argued the maps would reduce the representation of black Floridians in Congress. In a statement after the House adjourned, Sprouls issued a statement accusing some members of violating House rules and hijacking the process. So, yeah, what they were protesting was that the congressional map is going to cut out two black lawmakers.
Okay.
So we got taken for a ride by these headlines, but we caught it.
I didn't. I didn't believe a word of it at all. You guys.
No, I mean, like, we corrected it.
Stuff.
Well, that's good why this is conversational. When you just have newscaster voice reading it, you don't get the back and forth, the real-time correction.
Well, see, typically what happens with us is I didn't pull up that story because I couldn't hear what they were yelling. So when you brought it up, I was like, oh, yeah, you know, like, I heard that too. It's a good thing we pulled it up, though, because now these headlines, I mean, come on, man, look at this headline. That headline is going to be on Twitter. Someone's going to see it. And that's exactly what happened with that's exactly what happened to me. I saw that and I was like, oh, yeah, I heard that. Those people were protesting tax cuts. And then you pull it up and you're like, ah, they got me.
Yeah. Just reading past the headline is a superpower.
Where is Snopes when you need them, you know?
Fact check, false.
They could have put protesting. Like amid war, because we were talking about the war in Ukraine. We didn't mean anything about like, what?
Right, that's something that you got to be really careful of too, because depending on what the headlines you use for stories are, so it's tough because I'll do YouTube videos that way when I'm trying to make a point about two things happening simultaneously or having some relationship. But you see how the media will do it; they'll say something like, you know, Ian Crossland throws major fit as Seamus steals Lucky Charms.
And
You think Seamus stole them, and that's why he's angry. And then you read it, and it's like Seamus was 20 miles away when it happened.
Eating the Lucky Charms on video.
Oh, yeah. The best one. It was, no, what was it? Newsweek? No, I'm not going to say I can't remember who it was, but they published that a woman who criticized Putin had died. She had disappeared, been kidnapped, and died. And then when you read the article, her boyfriend had murdered her. But the headline and the photo was a picture of Putin and this woman.
That's intentional.
Oh, whoa. Shout out to Media Matters. That article, they published an article saying, you know, podcast host says something about like gay marriage or
Tim
whatever.
Cast, yeah, they said it was like Timcast IRL host attacks marriage equality and says it leads to grooming. And it was part of a conversation that we had where I stated my position, which is that there is no such thing as gay marriage. Marriage is between a man and a woman. But the person who tweeted it out was basically trying to make it sound like Tim had changed his position on gay marriage.
Let me show this. So Media Matters wrote, Timcast IRL panelists attack marriage equality, suggest it has led to normalizing grooming. They show, you know, here's the thumbnail for the video. It's me. And then they actually say, I think they said in the tweet, you got to watch out for these grifters changing their positions. And in it, it's like,
I can't remember if it was the Media Matters tweet or it was the first iteration of it I saw. I need to double check.
But I wasn't on that show that night either. That's really annoying.
So it's like me saying the issue for me is it's not gay marriage or a slippery slope fallacy. I think two consenting adults is not the issue. Obviously, there's a lot of traditional conservatives have an issue with that. I disagree. The issue is with children who can't consent. That's always been the point. It's like we had a discussion with Jason Whitlock and I'm like, I'm okay with gay marriage. I think it's a good thing. But I don't like the slippery slope fallacy in this context because I'm like, dude, if something is bad, it's bad. Then you don't say because of this might make something bad. No. Say no to bad things. You say okay to good things or to things that are in line with your values.
We debate them too. That's what the show's all about.
Well, it's funny because after I made my point, which was absolutely correct and absolutely accurate, you said you disagreed with me. So they just as easily could have made the headline, Tim Pool supports our, you know, lame left-wing position on this.
But, fights with panelists.
Fights,
Tim Pool defends for being right. Marriage equality from fascist.
From bigoted conservative debate rages, or whatever they call me.
I gotta say, I'm surprised that this, well, I shouldn't be, but I am surprised that this is like a headline it kind of shows how not represented the average person is in media, because like, what percentage of the planet are Christians, Muslim, you know, mm-hmm. that all like of those 80? People don't believe know. In gay marriage, mm-hmm. the majority anyways. So like, should it be that surprising that a host on a TV show would have a disagreement on this issue? Is that really worthy Whoa. Of a Media Matters article? Or are you guys just admitting that there is like no representation of how many people on the planet, Tim?
2.38 billion are Christians. Are Christians.
Wow. Yeah, now do Muslims.
Less than Muslims.
Yeah. It's more.
Well, Lauren, I don't know if you know this, but the only reason that you could ever oppose the left-wing orthodoxy on matters of human sexuality is if you actually Whoa. Just like specifically hate people for being gay. That's it.
2 billion.
Yep.
So if you take Islam and Christianity together, we're talking about 4.38 billion people.
Did you pull
so,
up that
so there's the majority, like,
majority of the earth.
Of the mm-hmm. earth. You can't have them represented. That is a shocking mm-hmm. opinion
no, no,
to have.
No, no, look, Media Matters, I think they're allowed to have their opinions on whatever they want. The problem is that the headline of that article is just stupid.
Well, panelists.
It says panelists, and I think it was, okay, no, so it was Alec Brusewitz and Seamus.
But no, Alex agreed with you, if I'm not mistaken. He said that he believed in this fictional concept
I'm okay with
gay
yes.
marriage.
Brusewitz yeah. said, I'm okay with gay marriage personally. Okay, whatever. But the stuff that's come after it, it's been messed up.
So I was the person who said the true things, and you guys got attacked.
The true things.
Truth is an illusion. Right. Truth is reactive.
Is that the truth, Ian?
I'm not sure.
We had Jason Whitlock on. He said he disagreed with gay marriage. We talked about it. I said I thought it was a good thing. There are many people that were formerly Democrats that when this issue was settled, they were like, I can vote Republican now because that was a big deal for me. Now, I think if you want to talk slippery slope, the issue is if it's bad, it's bad, and you call it bad. I don't think it's a slippery slope to be like consenting adults can do what they want. Children can't consent. They never will be able to. And you're not going to change that no matter what.
Yeah. So this is the thing. I would agree that it's a bad argument to say this thing, which is like otherwise good, could lead to this bad thing. So we shouldn't do it. I mean, my argument is that marriage is between a man and a woman. And because enshrining these unions, which are not representative of that, and erode the family, incorporating those into our definition of marriage legally is a bad thing to do. It will lead to other bad things.
And what were you going to say, Lauren?
Oh, I can't believe how left-wing your take is.
I know.
Marriage is obviously between a Christian man and a Christian woman.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about Christian marriage. So there's legal marriage, which is just a legal union. You go down to the courthouse, you sign some papers, and then you have the joint bank account, and you don't get taxed when you give your wife 600 grand.
But
then
marriage exists there's
Christian religion,
Christianity.
Which is, it's like a marriage. Spiritual blend. Yeah, yeah.
There's sacramental marriages. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you got to define what you're talking about when you're comfortable with who can do it, because, like, mm-hmm. legally, everyone has the right to get married. I mean, I think for the most part, every adult in this country right at the moment has the.
There are some states where. So this is actually funny. I think my brother was looking into this. What states in the country allow cousin marriage? What wow. states allow gay marriage? And what states allow gay cousin marriage? Hmm. And I think New York might be the only one. I don't know. Let me see if I can find it.
Wait, that yeah. allows all three? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's just two.
Have we really reached equality if people can't marry their dogs?
No.
No.
Oh, wait.
First,
yes?
Maybe.
Wait, hold on. In Arizona, first cousin marriage only if both parties are 65 or older?
Wait,
or
what?
Because
they're not
gonna, what?
Because they're not going to have kids. They're afraid of inbreeding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Arizona with so the eugenics.
That's super cool.
So I think
not eugenics, but that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look,
so
look. New York. And California allow you to gay marry your cousin.
Wicked. I mean,
why did they make fun of Alabama?
Your first cousin?
Oh, wait, hold on. So what's what? Let me see if I can pull this up.
Yeah, where's
So in the South you can gay marry. Actually, no. Hold on. Let me see by state. Let's see.
Well, wait a minute.
Well, I suppose because the federal government, Supreme yeah. Court, has ruled. So all that you got to do is look. You can see South Carolina, Georgia. What do we have? Is that Alabama? Which state is that one? That's Mississippi, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mississippi's on the left.
I don't know these puzzle pieces.
Puzzle pieces. And Florida.
Oh,
they,
that's right. You're Canadian.
They do allow. Oh, yeah. Alaska, Hawaii. Surprisingly, you can gay marry your cousin in a large portion of this country.
Wow.
But it's most
at last.
You know, there's interesting questions there about the challenge of the libertarian argument. So we were talking about the moral foundations the other day, and one of the moral foundations is like, would you allow two consenting adults in any circumstance? their own private, you know, life. And the argument for gay marriage was always like two consenting adults in the privacy of their own home can do whatever they want. It's like, what if it's like a daughter and a father?
Yeah.
No, because inbreeding, it's dangerous, at least from what we know about scientifically.
Well, I don't think the danger Liberty is argument. Even for the child. The danger is for the kid that would be in the relationship with their father. Like, forget the whole eugenics stuff.
If she was 18, I guess. If she's a consenting adult.
Yeah. Well,
but I think there's like, I don't know the science on inbreeding, but I know that historically it can get pretty bad. I had a mouse that inbred with its child and had another mouse that had a breathing problem.
That is
and I rest
gross.
My case.
Source?
I don't know. Joffrey so wait, from hold Game on.
You
of guys, Thrones.
Like, you had mice that you had as pets that were basically...
They just kept breeding and breeding and they were breeding gross. With their kids
my
and
source?
All that.
The British.
Although I think humans came from inbreeding. Inbreeding each other, eating a bunch of mushrooms and inbreeding. So maybe just the weak inbreds die off and then the healthy ones create a new species.
So why do you believe that?
I'm curious. Oh, it's just a thought that of maybe.
In Rhode Island, you can gay marry your dad.
What?
In what?
Rhode Island, you can gay marry your dad or your son. Wait. Hold on. Okay, no. I guess you can't get married. It's weird. Some states, Rhode Island has repealed its criminal incest statute. Seems kind of weird to me.
This is very complex.
But there are real challenges to the libertarian argument because, as Ian was mentioning, there's risks. Like, there's a reason why you don't do it. Yeah. You had deformities and serious problems. And so that's why there's laws against it. But I genuinely think as we move towards this anyone can be anything and do whatever they want phase of reality or like people are trying to create, you're going to see a lot more of this. I'm willing to bet that we're, you know, 10 or 20 years out from consenting adults can do whatever they want in any capacity.
It's weird how the pendulum swings. It's how that's like a weird part of reality. Like the kings of old, they would marry their daughter to their cousin to keep the bloodline, what they would call, I don't know if they would call it pure, but it was to keep like all the money in the family and all the power in the family, basically.
I believe the ancient Egyptians would do that with their royalty as well. I'm curious how common that was among royal families.
King Tut apparently
cultures.
Was really sickly as a result of
that. Oh, yeah, siblings is also.
Yeah,
uncle and niece is illegal. They say individual statutes vary widely. Rhode Island has repealed its criminal incest statute and only criminalizes incestuous marriage. Ohio targets only parental figures. So that means a brother and sister, I think, would be allowed. Two brothers could gay marry.
That's really interesting. So disgusting. You've got the laws around, like, okay, you don't want to have incest because obviously that's going to cause problems with the kids. But then you look at people who have, like, serious diseases, genetic diseases that they can pass down to their kids. Like, do they outlaw them breeding?
No, that's what the Nazis did.
Mm-hmm. So therein lies...
But, like, if there's the problem. So if you're going to ban these people from it because of birth defects and problems, then why not ban people with diseases that they'll pass down?
And that's the argument the left will come out when they say... You're a fascist for not allowing brothers to love each other.
Yeah, I don't think more of wrong makes it the other wrong better. You just don't, you want less wrong stuff.
Also, this is not an argument from like moral foundations or anything, but one objection that comes up in my mind immediately is that you know who is related to whom. You know who the siblings are. You don't go around doing genetic tests of everyone to know if a person has a disease.
No, in Iceland they do.
Oh, yeah,
they
interesting.
They have an app where they have to... Have you heard this? In Iceland they have an app to check to make sure you're not cousins. Because it's like an isolated population.
Oh.
Yeah.
I saw a Reddit post the other day where someone was like very visually disabled, like, you know, arm issues, face issues. Like, so you could see it like right away. And she... put a little TikTok up that was like, oh, people told me I shouldn't have kids, but I did. And she's holding her baby, and the baby is clearly very deformed too. And all of the people on Reddit were like, you shouldn't have, which was very interesting. So like...
Yeah, this conversation's been happening since
Lauren
the beginning.
Brings up a really, really great point, but that will bring us to a strange position. If what is the argument for the laws banning... parental or lineal or direct family relationships, and it is typically because of the likelihood of the increase or the creation of deformities, but then you argue, do people who already have those deformities have a right to have kids? And they do.
Yeah.
There's a good argument to be made. Nature did not intend for people to reproduce or procreate with their siblings. I don't think there's an argument to be made that like nature didn't intend people with disabilities to procreate.
Wait, say that again?
I don't, I mean, I, there's a good argument to be made. Look, nature did not intend people who are directly related to procreate. I don't think that there's an argument to be made that, like, nature does not intend people with disabilities to procreate.
Because most people with disabilities today wouldn't even survive in a natural state without our extreme scientific, like, inventions that keep them breathing and going into hospitals every day. So, like, nature literally intended for them to die out.
So I would argue that a person should not get married and start a family unless they are in a position to take care of that family for themselves. But if they are able to do that, it doesn't matter if they have a disability or not. It's their choice.
I think tribal history was very incestuous. When there was only like 12 people, they would have to. There's no other choice. And that's kind of where it all began.
We've really gone down the rabbit hole.
Let's climb back out.
Look what Disney's done to us.
Guys, can we just talk about something serious for a minute? We have this story from Live Science. U.S. government reported proposed nuking the moon. Newly released documents reveal. Seamus, why is the moon flat?
Tim. U.S. government report discusses plan to nuke the moon.
My name's Brandon Spector. In our latest report, the U.S. government has proposed nuking the moon. Newly released documents reveal.
The moon may be hollow.
This is a real story.
Are they trying to find out if it's hollow or how hollow it is?
U.S. government report proposed, but they proposed nuking the moon. Is this like the big ask? You propose the most absurd version of what you want so you could end up with something less extreme.
Set a McDonald's on the moon or something.
I actually think if I were to run for office, it would be in the position that we should nuke the moon.
So tell me more about this. Why are they doing this?
They say include nearly 1,600 pages of reports, proposals, contracts, and meeting notes reveal some stranger priorities. A Department of Defense program that ran from 07 to 12, but only became known to the public in 2017, blah, blah, blah. They say new documents suggest they were more than investigating the entire cache of documents, yada, yada. Perhaps most intriguing. Look how long you have to
read. Okay, yeah. So the document here says, let me read this quote.
The various advanced technologies, the collection include transversible wormholes, stargates, and negative energy, high-frequency gravitational wave communication, warp drive, dark energy, and the manipulation of extra dimensions, and many other topics that will sound familiar to fans of science
fiction. Hold on. So the proposal says people are talking about cousin marriages. It's time to just end it all. Let's nuke the moon, honestly.
There you go. Yeah, that's it.
Nuke the moon.
Let's go deeper. Trans-dimensional waves? Is that what they said? So they're doing like CERN?
I saw something about pregnancy down there.
Is that where the aliens made people pregnant? Yeah, unaccounted for pregnancies. Did you guys hear about this? They say the latest FOIA document dump arrived just 3 weeks after British tabloid The Sun obtained more than 1,500 pages related to alleged UFO encounters cataloged by the AATIP. Including among the documents was a report on the alleged biological effects of UFO encounters on humans. The report listed paralysis, apparent abduction, and unaccounted for pregnancy as a side effect.
Yeah, right. They just didn't want to talk about it. They're like, oh, by the way, I think I had sex.
It's like some woman cheated on her husband, and then she comes back, and he's like,
aliens,
how did you get pregnant? She goes, aliens. That explains it.
I just pulled up that they looked like they were trying to nuke the moon to tunnel through it.
Why would they want to tunnel through the moon?
I don't. Build bases, probably.
To get to the demons.
To get to the other side.
Seamus, you got
to
have my back here.
Why do you assume that you can just say anything, no matter how ridiculous, and I'm just going to have your back on it?
Do you not think aliens are demons?
That's beside the point.
I think we're aliens.
That's a question.
So like a lot of people are actually reporting on the release of these documents. We have this from the New York Post as well. Crowd control heat weapons, killer space lasers. All right, you know, I'm listening. What is this? It mirrors an energy source to fire lasers, atmospheric absorption scattering, and it's blowing up a missile or something? Well, that's fun.
Maybe they're doing a bit.
So they can spray a laser into the atmosphere and then make it spread out when it hits the atmosphere?
No, it's focusing. It's all the lights are pointing together, so the single point.
You know what happened? Yeah. Someone got drunk at NASA and forgot to write up their proposal, and they're just like, I'll write something so effing wild that no one will question
it. It's like the craziest cultists are in the government. I mean, they have all the power in the world, literally. They're the most powerful people in the world, and like, who knows if they're dropping acid and taking mushrooms and like, what? They really probably believe it's real. I mean, a lot of people do.
He microdosed and went a little over and then wrote this plan.
You know what happens? We're victims of our own storytelling. So, you know, what happens on YouTube is, we'll use furries as an example.
Oh, yes.
This is my opinion on furries. I think the reason people identify as furry is because they grew up watching Looney Tunes and anthropomorphized animals. So they want to then, when they're older, they dress like cartoon animals. I thought about this because I realized, like, you see these memes about furries, and I'm like, they're not dressing like animals. They're dressing like Bugs Bunny. Yeah. And, like, the big white hands and everything sometimes.
They're dressing to hook up with Lola Bunny. It's the amount of gross. People that so Lola made into furries.
Depending on who you ask, like we've had people super chat and say it's not about just like sex. It's about being it and being that thing. And I'm like, yeah, it's because they watched anthropomorphized animals as kids. If that idea didn't exist, they wouldn't have it. So what happens is you'll get someone, you know, 1947, and the government's like, if they find out about our nuclear, you know, programs, it's going to be bad. So just lie and say it's aliens.
So turn them into furries so they won't know anything.
So then the media reports aliens. Some little kid reads it and goes, whoa, aliens, grows up believing that story and then enlists to join the UFO program, genuinely believing it was aliens the whole time and they're being lied to. And then they tell people, I've seen some weird stuff and I think it's aliens. That kid then grows up being like, whoa, aliens are real. The guy from NASA told me I better go work there. And they just it perpetuates amongst
ourselves. Yeah, Bob Lazar is notoriously made publicly humiliated basically publicly by saying Zeta Reticuli and the aliens he saw. And I think that was just red herrings that they fed him because they're like, if this guy, they tell their scientists this stuff. So if they ever go rogue, then they're going to look like idiots. If they actually knew they were working on drones.
He said he saw a little green man.
Yeah, they probably had a stuffed animal sitting in it.
They won it at a carnival and they're like, they put it in the ship.
He changed his story later to be like, it was a puppet.
Yeah.
Gaslighting them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No kidding. I don't doubt the drone program though. Tesla was working on some cool technology and I think it was the FBI that went in there and took it. Nuke the moon.
Do we have to?
I think we want to nuke the poles on Mars, isn't that
Mount Rushmore on the moon.
Yes.
Mount Rushmore on the moon.
But whose face?
Oh, carve it. Yeah, no, we just put Trump's face on the moon.
Quite frankly, I think it looks better.
Stay seething for eternity.
Okay, all right, let's compromise. We nuke the moon to make an engraving of Trump's face.
Mm. There we go.
Oh. Mm.
I wonder what Media Matters is going to say now. Yeah. They're going to be like far right calls for nuking the moon to create a portrait of Trump.
Yes.
And they're right. They're absolutely correct.
Yes. And if you would like to help us on our mission, become members at timcast.com. It's the only way we'll do it.
We should crowdfund.
I mean, yeah.
Can we
crowdfund to nuke the moon?
Yeah.
There might be laws against that.
I think that would probably not be legal.
You can't nuke other countries, but the moon isn't a country.
Yeah.
Should it be?
And you know what happened? All of the flat earther people who think the moon is a space station is spying on us would be like, yes, I'll give you money, please.
Yeah, do it. Do it.
Did you guys ever hear about that guy who built his own rocket ship and I think he died?
Huh.
Yes.
Sounds about right.
I don't hear about this.
It was like, he's like a flat earther or something, did he?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Wait, no, I don't know that's that guy.
Homemade rockets.
So what was
there's a lot of guys who made homemade rockets. But there was, I think this might be it.
Yeah.
What did he do? No, this was just a daredevil. I don't want to disparage this guy. He was just trying to do it. But I read a story about a guy who like made his own rocket because he wanted to prove the earth was flat or something. And then he died.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, flat earthers are funny, man.
Physics is pretty cool.
A guy made a rocket and died. Physics is cool.
No, I mean, he thought the earth was flat. I'd say go with the physics on this one, guys. It's round. It looks very spherical from space and through measurements.
Have you ever been to space, Ian?
Horizontal longitude and latitude.
Have you ever been to space?
Not consciously.
Then how do you know then?
I've seen pictures.
Pictures? How do you know they're not just fisheye lenses?
I've seen streaming live from the ISS.
Like, fisheye lens.
You think that they're not actually streaming live from the ISS?
The Earth is round, bro, but this is the point that they make.
Okay. Ever been to Antarctica?
Can you? Yeah. Have you ever? Are you really sure you're you? Ian, how do you know what you are, Tim? Like, come on, guys. At some point, physics is real.
Right. That's not my point. My point is, when you talk to flat earthers, no matter what you say, they have an answer.
Yeah.
You're like,
that's why I don't talk to them. No, I do.
You
talk
don't
to
want
them. To
be debunked. I don't you're too scared. I don't you're right. Terrified of debating them. Videos,
yeah. What they used like tens of thousands of years ago, they thought it was really flat. They thought it was on the back of a turtle or something.
No, different cultures have had different.
On the back of a turtle.
And they were like, if you sail too far west, you're going to fall off the earth. Yeah. So they didn't. And then the one.
No,
day,
I don't think that's true. The story is that Eratosthenes accurately calculated the circumference of the earth by measuring shadows at two different points at the same time or something.
Yeah.
And it's funny because the flat earthers are like, how was he able to coordinate that? How did he do it? If he didn't have a cell phone, and I'm like, oh, geez, people couldn't communicate over long distances back then. Like, fire didn't exist, smoke didn't exist, and general timing didn't exist. It's just ridiculous. Yeah, he had two towers. He measured their shadows and said, here's how you know how big the thing is on. We're on. And then apparently we never thought the earth was flat because as soon as we discovered seafaring, you'd see things go over the horizon. Boats would appear to go down as they got to the, you know, to the horizon too far away. And so they were like, we're on a big ball.
Yeah, that must have been super ancient before they even realized like the horizon bends when you look out at the ocean to
the side.
That's
the turtle shell. You guys are going to be so mad when you find out we're on a turtle.
Thank
you. Can you imagine like you die?
Yeah, what is the turtle on?
I would be stoked. Lauren,
what is the turtle on?
Are you joking?
Don't say LSD.
Because it's obvious.
Yeah, don't tell me this turtle's on DMT. What's sustaining this turtle?
It's called the world. It's called the world
void,
turtle,
and it's the energy.
Curious.
Of our
this is an actual theory.
Elephants, or hypothesis. What Carrie
Ian,
says.
Ian, you are so dumb. You didn't know this.
Look at that discus Earth.
Did you not?
It's a flat Earth attached to a space turtle.
Where does that come from?
Is it, it's an elephant on a turtle.
Is this Hindu?
I like how the moon is still a sphere, and so is the sun.
Why? Yeah, don't ask me.
Turtle.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it's Hindu mythology, and then we enter the Kali Yuga, and the world turtle flips around or something. And
is
then,
that what happened?
I don't know.
Interesting.
Dude, if I died and then, like, could see the world turtle, I'd be stoked.
I got
I'd
a question.
Like, it was a turtle.
If you guys could either watch the formation of the solar system in, as fast as you wanted just to see it happen, or have a conversation with Jesus, what would you pick?
Jesus.
I'd talk to Jesus. Yeah,
he would tell
me. Pray. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus would tell you all about all of that stuff.
I would watch the universe personally. What would you say?
Jesus.
Yeah, but tell you what though, exactly. I don't know. I feel like he's just a guy that got taken out of context.
Well, I guess it depends on what context are you talking to Jesus, like right now.
Yeah. If you could just have a real conversation with him while he's alive.
Jesus is God, right?
No, like go back.
So basically, what you're saying. So basically, what you're saying is you're not talking about conventional prayer. You're saying you ask God any question, he gives you the answer.
Yeah, like if you could go back to like three,
like you don't like guaranteed it's going to be. Yeah,
if you could go to 3 AD, like it might make Christians no longer Christian if they meet him. They're like, whoa, he actually is just a guy. Like if you could go back to 3 AD and sit down with the dude and talk to him. Or well, whatever, when he was 24 or something.
Yeah, I'm sure a bunch of saints got persecuted, boiled, and hung for just a guy. Yeah.
I heard that there's a book about it, actually, that the Roman emperor at the time and a bunch of Roman oligarchs made Christianity to disempower the Jews because they had too much power.
Well, but I don't think there's any scholar who agrees with that.
To get to your actual question, you have to have – it's like – Would you want to talk to a guy people think is God, or would you want to see the universe form? Those are two very, very distinct questions. Well, obviously, I would like to have a supernatural experience watching the formation of the universe. But if the premise is that Jesus is God, I'd be like, I'd much rather talk to Jesus.
Well, there's no premise. That's why I just asked the question blandly like that.
So you need to ask the question, so you have different belief structures, obviously.
That's why,
like,
I'm interested.
For people who believe Jesus is God, they'd be like, I would like to talk to Jesus.
Yeah, I would think
for
so.
For you, when you're like, it was just a guy. It's like, well, that's a different question.
I don't know if it was just a guy, but I'd still rather watch the universe get formed because I don't know if it was a binary star collision or not.
Okay, so you watch the universe get formed and you don't really get too many answers. Okay, great. It formed somehow. Science, whatever.
Giant turtle.
But you get to talk to Jesus and you get to find out the fate of your soul in the afterlife. Like, why wouldn't you?
Well,
I want to find out if it was a Z pinch that caused the sun to like overcharge itself and then spit out all this matter, or if it was a binary star collision that caused it to arc out and create Saturn.
And that's more important than your eternity?
Yeah, but what's the guarantee that Jesus would tell you about your eternity? I actually think
that's all he talked about.
He'd be like, I don't know. I think about the universe forming too. I wish I could go with you.
I kind of think that God or Jesus would say, you know, you need to live your experience and live your life and
well, no, that's my point is we can pray now and ask God questions now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true, but I think you get an answer through your own human filter.
I think people can absolutely pray and deceive themselves and think they're hearing from God and they're just hearing from themselves.
Can I just choose to believe we're on the back of a turtle?
Yeah, I mean, Tim, look, you can choose.
I think that's called psychosis.
This just in, the universe has been discovered to be on the back of a turtle. More at 9 o'clock.
I guess what is evidence, really? You know, just agreed upon information? No one.
Oh,
really,
it's held up by elephants.
Yes.
Yeah, elephants on the turtle's back.
That is crazy. Like, why? Somebody was smoking when they thought of that. They're like, you know, the earth. Flat. And they're like, it is?
Yeah.
Held up by elephants. Where? What are the elephants on?
Here it is.
A turtle.
This book that I mentioned is called Creating Christ, How Roman Emperors Invented Christianity. When I heard that, it was just like a couple weeks ago. Someone mentioned it to me. I thought, that is not far out of the question.
Can we get a vote? All in favor of giving Ian title of blasphemer?
Well, think about it logically.
Everybody's
the Jews at the time had massive political power, and the Romans were really authoritarian. So
yeah,
I could see they would stop at nothing.
You could make anything.
Sanhedrin and, you know, the Roman government to destroy what they had created for the purpose of getting rid of the power of
I don't know anything
Rome.
About the Sanhedrin. When did it get
That's
created?
Like the powerful Jews in Rome. from my understanding. Maybe
I don't know.
Just using big words like Bosch.
Tell me, blaspheme for me, Morian.
Oh, let me tell you about it. So I think
why would they destroy what they created and allow the group they were trying to destroy through it to do that as well?
I would imagine it's because it was generations later and the people were changed at that point. Maybe people were like, wow, what have we done? Let's rectify or stuff like that, maybe. I don't know much about what you had mentioned. What year was, you know, what years it all happened? This is the purports that it was like in 70 AD or something that they got. That they did this.
I don't know if we can really serve these conversations very well without scholars.
Mm-hmm. That's also what I'm saying is, I'm not just talking about Catholic scholars. The scholarly consensus, atheistic or otherwise, is that Jesus Christ existed, right? I believe he exists, but there are no scholars. I mean, mythicism is a fringe position. Mythicism is the belief that Jesus didn't exist. He's completely fictional. That is the slim minority view.
Yeah, among I think for
scholars.
I would imagine he existed, okay. But they call it the Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah, it's based
it's
in Rome.
Roman, dude. The it's Rome based in Rome was the empire. Like, why does the empire have a religion?
Let me pull up this story that is directly related to what Ian is talking about.
Yes.
TimCast.com reports Boston police launch hate crime investigation after teenagers attack white woman with braids. The attack is the latest in a series of crimes committed by juveniles in the city's District A1. And I would also add, this has nothing to do with what Ian was talking about.
Yeah, but you're right on
great
the money.
Great segue. Awesome. Killed
I was like, can I do the worst possible segue possible?
I loved it.
I thought this story was interesting because we've been seeing an increase in crime. We've also been seeing wokeness going crazy. So when there was a report that they're like, it's racially motivated because the woman was white and she had braids, these guys basically attacked her because she was culturally appropriating braids. And the city's saying it's a hate crime.
Is that what it's... Can you read that bit?
So they said the Boston police are investigating a possible racially motivated crime after a group of teenagers attacked a woman in the city's downtown. The headline is a white woman with braids.
Was it because she had braids?
That's the initial reporting I saw. They said police noted in the report the woman was in distress and highly animated. Oh, here we go. The girls allegedly punched and kicked the woman and pulled her by the hair because she was, here we go. One of the victims said a group of girls called her a white expletive with braids who should not wear her hair in that style because she was not black before assaulting her. The girls allegedly punched and kicked the woman and pulled her by her hair.
Okay, so if this never actually happened and instead a leftist invented a story of this happening to a black person, like completely fabricated a hate crime like this, it would be in the national news cycle for days and days.
Yeah.
They're not going to talk about this.
I always like pointing out that Bill Maher, a week after Covington was debunked, still maintained the lie. Because the dude just like doesn't know how to Google stuff.
I get nervous about the term hate crime. It seems like it's too subjective.
I like that it's finally being used both ways, though. Like, there was just a Calgary police tweet where it was just some graffiti that said, like, F white people shouldn't exist anymore. And they're, like, investigating a hate crime. And people were seething, molding in the comments. And I was like, well, you know what? This is where we're at. It should be fair. If they're going to investigate it one way, they have to do it the other.
But that is giving in to ridiculous laws.
If they make
I think we should have equality. If you attack someone, you attack them. If it's just like, well, we think you did it for a specific reason related to like how they looked, now you get worse punishment. I'm like, no, dude, assault is assault. Battery is battery. Motivations. It's weird in my opinion. Yeah. I don't like hate crime laws.
I remember that New York subway attack like a few weeks ago where the guy shot like 26 people or something. No one died.
Ten
people. Okay.
Terrible.
They were like, we're investigating this. This is not, but we believe it is not an act of terrorism. I'm like, what? The guy terrorized everyone on the train. That's terror. I don't care. Use the word or don't, but it's like that they're using that word like hate crime, terror attack to make it more dangerous. But it's like,
how do you know what's crazy is every headline would be like, oh, if it were the other way around, like a white guy who shot up the place, they'd be like, if this were a brown man, they'd call it a terror attack. Like,
that's so true.
Every time.
Yeah, they're very reluctant to apply that label to anyone who isn't white, basically.
I don't like it. The terror attack thing is new, 20 years new. I don't like it.
Well, I mean, it's terrorism, right? If I understand properly,
so
the actual
George
technical
Washington.
Definition of terrorism is you're trying to use fear to get people to comply with your political motives.
But it's so subjective.
This guy had posted a bunch of black nationalist stuff.
Mm. Yep.
Like the joy.
Remember the Antifa guy who had the 9mm with the drum? And it was like in Ohio or whatever. Do you guys remember that? They said that it wasn't politically motivated. They said it wasn't leftist violence. And I'm like, dude, I don't care what you think.
Yeah.
If a dude's posting crazy Antifa stuff and then goes and shoots people up, my only assumption is this is his driving motivation.
Yeah.
The worldview he lives in. Now, was the reason he pulled the trigger was to enact communism? I don't know. He was a far left extremist who engaged in enacting.
Yeah, he definitely intentionally set it up and did it.
Well, sorry, I was thinking about that. You can literally be a terrorist as long as you're on the left, though, and they just won't mention it. Do you know Dr. Tedros, the head of the World Health Organization? Oh, yeah. I just found out last week he was literally a member of a banned terror organization.
What?
Yeah, the Tigray People's Liberation Army. Look it up right now. Dr. Tedros, he's the guy who we got all our updates for from the World Health Organization on COVID. People's Liberation Army. Go to his Wikipedia and look at early life, and it just says that, he was a part of this little group, the Tigray rebels. And then if you click on the group name, he was literally a part of their political party for years. He was even been accused of supplying arms. They killed a bunch of people. They were a banned party in Ethiopia for terrorism.
Tedros was a member of the Tigray People's Liberation Front, the leading group in a coalition of movements known as the Ethiopian People's Revolutionary Democratic Front, in a successful bid to overthrow Mengistu Haile Mariam.
Now click on Tigray People's Liberation Front. Notice how they don't mention in that sentence at all that it's a terror organization.
Oh, no, it's an ethnic nationalist organization, paramilitary group, and banned political party.
Can you imagine if any of us were a part of that, what our Wikipedia page would look like? It sure as hell wouldn't be a single sentence not mentioning ethnic nationalist, terrorist, or banned. But they just,
it's probably, well, I mean, they include
he's the head of the World Health Organization. That's insane.
That is,
I think about like
unbelievable
forgiveness and like,
well, it's not unbelievable
when someone's radicalized. Who was it we had on the show? When someone's radicalized when they're young and they're in terror organizations.
Oh, Majid.
He was
probably Majid.
Majid Nawaz was like, for like 10 or 12 years, he was like a hardcore, basically doing what this guy was doing, and then snapped out of it and was like, and basically now he's talking about de-radicalization and stuff. He's big, talks a lot about the Azov in Ukraine and how if we're funding that, we're funding a radical ethnic, you know, cleansive group. So maybe, you know, I don't want to like this guy. I'm not a big fan of the World Health Organization, but I'm not. Just because he was in an organization when he was younger doesn't mean that he's a bad person.
He wasn't younger. He was like a politician, a part of this group, like an adult. And the point isn't even like him about him personally. It's the fact that this isn't mentioned anywhere, that he can become the head of the World Health Organization with no fuss about the fact that he was part of a terror organization.
Oh, yeah. Majid Nawaz talks openly about his experiences. If he was hiding it, that'd be a completely different story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. No, it's insane.
Don't put the camera on me. I'm eating.
No, I'm trying to drink your drink. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean,
no, I'm eating maraschino cherries.
Of course. Yeah. Drink your drink.
What were you going to say, Seamus?
Well, I was going to mention something earlier, but
Seamus
now
wants
this
to talk
is
about
just,
the IRA.
I would exactly. Hold on. I knew someone was going to go there. I don't know what I'm doing inviting this kind of.
What's
hating.
That? What's that orange?
It's nothing. It's nothing.
Yeah. What is that? I only see.
So green. Anyway. no, I mean. Of course, this guy's Facebook page, as you mentioned, or his social media accounts were filled with a bunch of left-wing rhetoric, and their argument is, they don't even really make an argument about it. They just don't say anything, but that's ridiculous. I mean, if somebody committed a massacre and their social media was full of them posting things like, the goblins watch me and like the voices tell me to shoot people, we wouldn't assume that that was unrelated to them going out and hurting people. And yet when someone's posting like incendiary, insane left-wing rhetoric, that's just not even a potential motivation for why they would go out and kill people once they do.
You know, look, I can't speak for right-wing channels. I don't know. But when you have these prominent left-wing podcasts just outright lie about all of this stuff, they'll be like, you know, you'll mention this and they'll be like, no, he isn't. You'll be like, he's a member of this group. No, he's not. And you're like, I'm reading about it right now. No, you're not. Like the Taylor Lorenz thing is just,
yeah.
Hey, you know, they linked to her private address. No, they didn't. Yeah, they did. It's not her home. Okay, well, it is, but it's also her work. I guess it's her work address. If that's your argument, no, they didn't.
No,
it's
they
been
don't.
Debunked, Tim.
They don't do that.
It's just like, what's the point of even trying it's to so talk annoying. To these people? I'm just going to say right now. I've said it before. I'll say it again. What's the point of negotiating with someone who will look at, like, they'll look at this bottle. I'll say, I have a glass bottle. And they'll go, no, you don't. Like, I'm literally holding a glass bottle. No, you're not. Okay. Well, if we can't agree on something I'm literally doing, then I don't know what's the point of talking.
Only to, like, measure emotions, to like, tone them down or tone down yourself, only to listen to their feelings. It's most about feelings with the people like that.
Now, it says that Tedros was a member of this group, but what does it say about Lauren Southern?
Oh. Okay. Let's not read my... We don't read my Wikipedia page, okay, Tim?
This is good.
Should I read it?
Sure.
Yeah. Lauren Southern is 26.
Oh,
wow.
Ancient.
Yeah. Way too young.
The 90s.
A Canadian alt-right YouTuber.
What does that even mean, alt-right?
I mean, whoa! It used to be
called they take out white nationalists? They took out white nationalists since our last episode.
Congratulations. Oh, wow. Look what happens if you highlight alt-right.
It doesn't matter. How nice.
Oh,
hello.
Oh, man.
Wow. That's Wikipedia is a joke.
Yeah.
But,
wait, what does it say about South Africa up there? Something about...
Which one, this one?
She has been described as an advocate of white genocide conspiracy theory for her documentary Farmlands. You know what? The conclusion of Farmlands is that there isn't a white genocide, but that we're approaching steps where we have rhetoric in government saying we need to kill white people, which I think pretty fair, right? Mm-hmm. If government elected officials are saying we need to kill Boer, that's steps
they were
towards
singing
genocide.
It. They,
yeah.
They have a song.
So like they say I promote the conspiracy theory, which I don't, but whatever, you know.
I've heard a lot about it. This is the farm attacks where white farmers were getting attacked in South Africa because they thought you're colonialists and we kind of thing.
Yeah, there's like massive groups, the EFF, Black Land First, that literally just advocate killing and taking the land from the Boer. They have songs about it that they've sung, like full-on hate speech, farmers just getting murdered on their property for the crime of being white and owning land. Like, it's horrendous. And, you know, racism is a problem all around in that country amongst all groups, like different... ethnic groups, like within just the African context, tribal groups are super racist against each other. That's like very much a norm there, unfortunately. But like to not acknowledge that it's happening in a political context is wild to me, especially in the West. It's so obvious and out there too. 1 second of Google, but I guess as you mentioned, Tim, these people don't understand how Google works, I guess. They don't have access to their own computers.
Or they just lie.
I have a slightly off-topic statement I'd like to make. Seamus, you said earlier that you're from Ireland, or your
family
was from Ireland.
No, I'm not. I'm not. This is the thing. What? Why are you doing this to me? People are going to like start calling me a poser. I never claimed this.
My question is, it sounds like Ireland is how you would say the word island with an Irish accent.
Ireland. Oh, it's an Ireland.
I'm on the Ireland.
Oh, it's interesting.
Is that real?
I don't know.
Oh, that was my question.
I don't think
the people
so.
From the Ireland.
Let me look up the etymology.
Like I got a chest here. Come out, ye black and tans. Come out and fight. No, you're not
fight
dance.
Me like a man.
Yeah, there we go. Fight. He's a terrorist.
You're from Chicago. That's,
no, I just know Irish songs.
I think you're terrorist, Ireland. Lauren. What the heck?
Yeah. What are you doing? This is unbelievable. The slander. I want to let everyone know that I was just smeared by white nationalist Lauren Southern for my ethnic identity.
Yeah, I watched it happen.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like 6 feet away.
Yeah. As a non-white man.
Definitely.
It's very offensive.
Definitely the British were like, those are people on the Ireland.
There was a meme recently released. They can track the data of, on Google, the most searched countries within countries in Europe. And it was showing like, oh, Ukraine is being the most searched country outside of people's own country in every country in Europe except one place, Ireland. And guess what their most searched country was?
British.
Never, always watch your back. That's it right. Was. Wow. Their most searched country
See,
was
part of the
England.
British Empire. They're like under the boot of the British Empire, basically. Yeah, they don't want to be.
Their back.
From what I can tell, a lot of them
never
don't
ease
want to
up.
So what is it? I mean, the IRA and the Irish, was it an attempted revolution that they wanted freedom from Britain and like half the country got it and the other half is still British?
I don't know. Lauren's the expert on this.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I am by no means anyway an expert. Know very little. But, you know, Ireland was what, enslaved by the British for 800 years? Was it
Long
800?
Time, yeah.
Yeah, British colonists.
Yeah, and so they were, like, not happy with it.
Yeah,
but,
lots of Catholics killed, lots of,
But the North was, the Orange is like the Orange Order. I think that's something to do with the Dutch, doesn't it?
That was like Protestant. That.
Yeah, Protestant. That's my understanding is that the Orange always represented the Protestants, the Brits.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go. Now, you know, I was there with you, wasn't I?
Yeah, when they were doing the burnings.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was really wild.
And the peace wall makes no sense.
But you guys were like, in Ireland together?
We were in Ireland.
No one invited me. That's cool. You know, it's like Seamus is
on that day.
We'll accuse him of being some kind of Irish terrorist on the podcast. But to actually go to Ireland now, he doesn't need to go.
Well, they were burning the Irish flag on these like giant pallets, like built insanely high. Yeah, like what, it's like feet. July the 7th or something. I can't remember, but it was like a Northern Irish holiday where they just like burn effigies of British politicians.
But the peace wall made no sense because like one side was like pro-Palestine and one side was pro-Israel. And you're like, what does that have to do with what's going on?
It's the foreign funding going into each side.
No, it's just tribalism.
Yeah.
It got
yeah.
to the point where this is what that one dude was telling us. He was like, if one side adopted a principle or idea, the other side would take the opposite just for the sake of taking the opposite.
Well, then, yeah, they had, like, Obama and Nelson Mandela on the Irish side of the wall. And then they had, yeah, all this, like, right-wing stuff on the Northern Irish side. It was really weird.
Does that come from, like, trying not to get – to hear people not to go to the other side? You're like, no, everything they're saying is wrong. No, Don't even think about it.
It's like right now
yeah.
when a leftist will say to me, Washington Post didn't dox anybody. And I'll be like, here's a link to them doing – no, they didn't. It's like they just have to say that because they're in a cult.
They go, I know you are, but what am I? Mm. Like,
wait, and I'm like, dude, you're in a cult. I got no point talking to you. All right, how about we do this? I'll talk to you. We'll go to Super Chats. Ooh. If you haven't already, smash that like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends, and let's read what y'all have to say after that particularly raucous conversation. Rilo says, why is Trump talking smack about CNN Plus when I can't even get into Truth Social? Mm. Whatever, man. Ubuntu 22.04 is out. Ian, Fedora or Ubuntu?
I haven't used Fedora. I really have liked Ubuntu in the past, so Ubuntu.
What?
It's a operating system.
Oh, yeah. Only the cool kids know
Linux.
About it.
Yeah, yeah, right. Linux. It's for cool. Only cool guys use
Ubuntu.
Linux.
It means something like love of the community or something.
Yes.
It's like an African
something
concept.
Like we are one, right? Yeah. yeah.
Steven Valdez says, are we seeing the beginning of the end of woke? I wouldn't count on it.
Humanity to others. Just Googled it. That's what Ubuntu
right.
means.
Ubuntu.
Nobody? Nobody?
Yeah,
no.
Wait, can you repeat that? Sorry.
Are we seeing the end of woke?
It is both the end and the beginning, my friends. Hmm. And forever it will be.
Leftism never goes away because it just means social decay. And everything humans make breaks down eventually. What we can do is try to be productive people and stave it off. But it's never gone forever.
Lua Coder says, don't forget that Trump's Truth Social has already flopped before it started. Yeah. They violated the code license of Mastodon when they claimed it was their own proprietary code.
Yep.
Well, that is true. I will say Ian called them out early for it before they launched, but was correct when they launched, they did not admit to it. That's my understanding. Mm-hmm. And the platform's just been...
Yeah, people have had a hard time getting in. They're on the wait list like, for months or something.
You want to follow the president? I do. He ain't here. Like, okay, what am I okay. doing?
Not a lot on Twitter. Not even a lot on his own website. It's hysterical.
Yeah. Mike Sullivan says, rather feed the chickens. Well, it is true. I'm pretty sure over $2,000 today on Chicken City. It is the number 31 most super chatted show in the world in 1 month.
We had a great chicken party before we went live. It was
the babies!
Really
the baby's first chicken party.
The babies got released for the first time. Finally out of the brooders and they're running around and they're all flapping their wings for the first time because they were really cramped in there. And then they had two chicken parties.
Oh yeah.
Two whole parties. It was good fun.
This house is actually run by the chickens
it's
now.
True.
I went downstairs and it was just chickens everywhere. They wouldn't even let me.
We are averaging at this point probably like $1,300 per day. They're, like tax day was really low. Nobody was super chatting because everyone's like groaning. But today with the amount of money that came in, it makes up and bounces out. So it's probably like $1,500. Yo, Chicken City is going to fund so much.
I was going to say, you're going to get to a point where Chicken City is making more than Timcast IRL, and you guys are going to start getting, like, Wolf of Wall Street psychotic about it. You're going to be like, dance, chickens, dance!
No, it's going to be the opposite. The chickens are going to be running the roost. You're going to be like, can we please be on your show? Are we begging to be on Chicken City?
I'm actually willing to bet. But listen, you got to understand, Chicken City is, like, it's almost like ASMR with the nature sounds.
Good.
Dogs and cats love it, so people turn on their TVs and leave, and the dogs just watch the chickens. Kids like it. We're launching. We just put up a first cartoon short gag, which is a family friendly humor. It's called Everyday Life Living with a Rooster, and it starts with chickens. Like,
is this the one that we improvised with the eggs?
And then when the chicken tries talking to the rooster, he just screams and won't.
No, don't give away the punchline. That's our brilliant writing. It's my brilliant writing.
Well, it's funny, but the gag is that rooster is just always screaming nonstop. Yeah,
it's so, actually not a gag.
So you joke. Yeah, it's not. It's like, it's true. You joke that we're going to make more money on that. I got to be honest. I think the market cap for family friendly content is much bigger than politics. So
get the chickens doing toy reviews. Then you're really
oh my gosh! What if we do unboxing videos of chickens? We take the new chicken
unegging videos.
we are launching merchandise for him, and each of the main chicken cast will have their own shirt.
Aww.
So there will be like a Margaret shirt, a Vanessa shirt, a Katarina shirt, a Carol shirt, a Sarah, a Roberto, and a Roberto Jr.
This then, is just like a spin on women who make cats their children.
Well, we're just making funny stuff. And then there's, no, there's, it. Margaret has two babies and they're called the twins, they're Maggie so and Bernie. Oh but God, because they are identical, we just call them the twins. But then there's two Black Star girls, which are also the twins, but they're black. So I was like, we can call them the Black Chicks or we can call them by their names, Crow and Raven. But we can't call them the twins because the twins are the other ones who are a little older.
I would veer away from calling them the Black Chicks.
Oh no, I meant
yes,
that literally.
I can tell.
I like they were young chickens and they were black.
No, call them the white
chicks.
You
were completely right the whole time. Hey, by the way, the chickens are grooming themselves hard right now in Chicken City.
Oh my.
All right, let's read more as it were.
Anyway.
By the way, Lauren, I don't like the comparison between cats and chickens on any level. Someone who owns chickens is not the same as someone who owns cats. It's not even
I suppose chickens are productive.
They're productive and cool.
Actually, I like
this is just slavery. No.
Yeah, if the more chickens you own, the more likely it is you have a family.
Lauren, listen.
As opposed to cats.
Right now, the chickens are in a protective pen. There is currently a pandemic right now among chickens.
A pandemic.
And in exchange for safety, we've locked them in a box. They're not allowed to leave.
Mm-hmm. So true.
Gotta put some masks on those chickens.
This is a benevolent slavery.
And we get their eggs.
That's right.
Lord Carvanite says, hey, y'all, quick question about taxing people less for having more kids. My uncle can't have any kids because he's diabetic. How would he be affected by this tax? Love what y'all are doing. Keep it up and smash that like button. Smash that like button.
They
wouldn't. I don't think we should tax people who don't have kids. I think we should give tax cuts to people who do have kids.
Yeah, this is how it would affect him. He wouldn't be taxed.
Aren't they doing that, though?
But also, if he got, I mean, if he was married and wanted to adopt, then I suppose it would affect him.
Yeah, I'm nervous about people having kids just to get the paycheck, though. I've heard stories about people that do that just to collect, you know, what do you call it?
But I think
Social
there's
security or
There's a, and I sort of hear you, but I think there's a difference between directly giving somebody income for having kids and allowing them to keep the money that they already earned.
That's a good
when
point,
they're having kids.
Because then it still incentivizes them to work.
And it's also like who has a higher claim to your money, the children you need to provide for or the government?
Let's read some more. We got Miss Melty Face says, Lauren is awesome. Three drink Lauren is way more awesome. So before we record the members only, I'll just make sure Lauren pours more Pappy.
It's propaganda.
Also, you know what that is, right?
No, it's kind of gross, to be honest.
Are you serious?
Oh, wow.
That's a $1,300 bottle.
Yeah, whiskey.
That's what you grab?
Don't force
that's what you grab? She goes to get the most expensive thing on
she's
the shelf.
Pouring it in the cup like it's
gross.
Jack.
I'm
alcohol's rotten.
It paper
oh, my goodness.
I got out of the sauna one night and I felt clean, you know, and I sipped a beer and all it tasted like was rotten food. I was like, what is this? And then a second later, I took a second sip and it tasted like beer.
That's actually, I think that's 17. I don't, maybe it's 13. It's the Pappy 12.
I am someone who can drink like a $9, $5 bottle of wine and I'll be like,
Lauren. No, more importantly, you're someone who can drink a $1,700 bottle of whiskey and not know it.
Lauren, there is a bottle of corn whiskey up there that was 10 bucks.
Try that one.
It's all yours.
It's really good.
We should get that sulfate free
wine. I love it. I'm
that's
sure.
Good stuff.
Corn whiskey. I got the corn whiskey because I was like, sooner or later, someone's going to come here who has no idea what any of this is, and they're going to drink the $10 corn whiskey.
There's also colloidal gold over there. I got a little bit of you can drink.
That's what Ian brought to the
I'm totally into it. I think it helps your neurons become superconductors.
Ardwick says, on average, Ian is a solid 10.5.
That's a little bit better than a that's all I need.
All right.
For Shameless, the Irish hobo.
Shameless. RDC says to everyone, how much you want to bet that Fox will take back Wallace? Are you
Chris
that very expensive?
So here's the thing. She said she was going to grab a drink. I said, grab me a cup. I didn't think she was going to get the most expensive thing off the shelf. As it happens, she did. And I'll be honest, it's been enjoyable. It's nice to sip on.
You sound like
I'm
one
not
of
trying to take more.
The...
I think that
they Lauren went and grabbed the most expensive whiskey off the shelf. More on the news at night.
I wonder how many whiskey aficionados are, you know, face palming, seeing the paper cup.
Van Winkle.
What are you doing? It's insane.
It's just a woman moment. I naturally just gravitate towards the most expensive item in a man's house and take it.
It's very pure looking. Look at that. That looks really cool. Wow, it's strong.
John. All right, here's a good one. John Morganier says, Tim, please stop saying John. You are 33 years old. One, it's creepy. Two, I'm turning 32 this year. Get it right. So I make the joke where it's like, I know the demographic, so I can look in the camera and say, John, you're a 33-year-old white male.
Oh my gosh.
And someone's going to go, that was me. But I was like, no, I could also say, Javier, you're a 27-year-old Mexican guy.
John's creeped out, okay?
You could say, Seamus, you're a 27-year-old.
Seamus. Seamus. You are a 27-year-old white male, and you are watching this show right now.
I'm actually Irish.
You know there's going to be someone named Seamus who sees that. You know?
Who's 27? I don't know. Yep. I don't think there aren't that many of us.
But in five years, there might be.
Ooh. It's actually not weird. It's excellent. You're so excellent. They just can't go giving it out to everyone willy-nilly.
All Seamus, right, you're listening to this video again when you're 40 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
When you're 80, Seamus is going to be like, hey, remember the good old days?
After I finally left TimCast, it was the best time of my life.
Seamus, you need to go back. You need to find the stone.
Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them.
You guys ready for a bad joke?
Oh, boy.
I think it's funny, but I mean, like, dark. Oh. Razgriz says CNN Plus being canceled after 3 weeks is fine because abortions are allowed up to 22 weeks in Georgia.
Oh, my gosh.
I like it.
Oh, cringe.
You got to my seal of approval as a joke.
Oh,
well done.
Very dark.
Ooh.
Dark.
Ooh, yikes.
All right. 3Y, what does it say? Elite says, you guys need to watch Network, the 1976 movie. This is CNN's prequel, LOL.
They used to tell me I was that guy when I was making videos in the early days, 06, 07. Go to the CrossMac channel on YouTube if you want to see it. Man, I was like that guy from Network. I was like so red-pilled, you know? I was out of my mind and I just didn't know how to express it.
Rob Matt says, please get Elon Musk on the show.
Hmm.
Oh, let me call up Elon I'm going to tweet at Elon right now. I'm going to tweet. I'm doing it.
Yeah,
here we go.
It.
I'm
Tim,
on Twitter.
That's
I have 1 million followers. I have 1.1 million
You know what?
Followers.
To be fair, he's been responding to like random accounts.
You'll see it.
Yeah.
He's watching.
That's never going to work. Tim, I'll hit him up.
It's okay, then. Seamus, look at it.
Show.
Yeah. You got this.
They're
Thank
distant
you
cousins.
Thanks for helping
it
me.
It would be like super
he's totally gonna tweet
rad.
This, isn't he?
Yeah, this is good because we can talk about freeing Twitter's code.
There we go. I have officially tweeted that out.
I want to ask him about the birth rates. Let's go. Let's see.
There we go. Now, Pete, there's a ton of like weird lefties on Twitter who are going to see that and have no idea what the context is. So, Hopitarian on Twitter has tweeted at me to like tweet random nonsense to see what happens. He's like, Tim should tweet the and see what happens. And I do. And like people are like, I hate you. Rah! And then he was like, Tim should tweet cake and see what happens. And then people were like, pie. No. Pie is not. No cake. Twitter. Where you go to get emotionally destroyed.
That's right. It's just a hell loop.
Pearson.
Anyone who stays on that site.
Yeah.
You
Pearson
get what you
10
give,
says, man. My kids thought the Chicken City cartoon was hilarious. However, my 3-year-old did run around pretending to be the rooster all evening after watching it.
I'm so sorry.
I take that as a compliment.
That's great.
All right. Let's grab some more super chats. Get Rich says, hey, Tim, love what you were doing with TimCast. Very inspirational. Lauren, did you and Luke have a thing back in the day or Mandela effect? Thanks. I didn't screen that. I just grabbed one that said we're doing good with TimCast, so the rest of it I didn't actually read.
Yeah, we dated briefly.
Oh, whoa.
Both awesome people.
It's like it just goes quiet.
Do
you want to talk about your personal life on the internet?
I was actually going to take the opportunity to make fun of Luke because I like making fun of Luke, but I was like, wait, no, this might be.
Yeah, there's a thing.
Evidence that we don't screen Super Chat.
Gene Wilder made a pretty good point about talking about your personal life and your private life, and they're different. And I like that. Private is like names and dates and, you know, addresses and stuff, whereas personal is like how you feel about what happened to you in your past and things like that.
Roberto Lara says, Stelter was born in 1985. Ian, that was an awesome interview with Michael Malice, Drugs and God. I think Ian needs a show called In Ian's Mind or called Words with Ian.
Thank you so much.
The chat just exploded. People are like, LOL.
it's on Michael Malice episode 203. You're welcome.
All right. Patriot American says, hey, Tim, you planning on working with the Daily Wire on some of their shows? Would it be possible to invest in some kind of video game division? I'd call it TimCast Games. There have been a variety of discussions with the Daily Wire on a lot of the things they're working on. It's all I can really say. Obviously, if we're over there, what we do with the Daily Wire is very much aligned in terms of, like, you know, we want to change culture. They're different from us in a lot of ways, but we like them. They're fun people. And we've talked about shows, movies, books, and, you know, we'll see. We're crazy over here. I don't think the Daily Wire would ever do something like Chicken City. And that's why we're different. I think we're much more, I don't know, is it younger? I don't know if younger is the right word.
I'm probably older than all of them, except for Clinton.
Than a lot of them. Yeah. But I suppose if you look at the way we approach things, it's from a very different perspective or operation, but we agree on so much about culture. the Daily Wire is never going to set up a chicken coop and have chicken parties, right? You know, but they're making movies, so they're taking the institutional hill, and I'm glad they are.
Oh, me and Jeremy are about the same age. Cool. He's a couple months older than me.
Oh, there you go.
I love that guy.
So I certainly think,
love you, Jay.
You know, we'll see how things play out. We will. But big fan of Daily Wire guys. Insane says, fan of the show. I have a suggestion for a guest, David Wood from Act 7 Apologetics. He got an incredible testimony, and I'd like for y'all to talk about philosophy and religion with David. Love you, Ian.
Love you too, dog.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things I thought about was, like, should we have someone actually just poll, like, some of the best super chats? We talked about this a while ago. I was like, while we're doing the show, we should have someone actually take good super chats and get us ready for the best ones. And then I was worried that whoever did that would avoid spicier ones. Because obviously, I'll be reading one, I'll get halfway through and go, I'm not reading the rest of that. And sometimes I'll walk into traps like Speechless by Michael Knowles and things like that. And that's funny. So I didn't want to get rid of that. I wanted, you know, just to... All right, let's grab some more. We got too many super chats today.
By the way, I'm familiar with Act 17 Apologetics. I haven't seen too much of their stuff, so I wanted to refresh myself. So I went to their YouTube channel, and they currently have 666,000 subscribers. So y'all got to subscribe. Y'all gotta change that ratio.
What's the history of that? Six number.
Is it irresponsible for me to tell people to subscribe to a channel I haven't seen in a while? All right. I think it's the wrong number.
Steven Bortlemay says, marriage is a religious custom that only became... I don't know what the word he was going to use, bastardized, when the state adopted it for the purpose of stealing more money from its civilians. I think the issue is that in this country, marriage is quite literally an Abrahamic institution, rooted in the fact that this country was founded by a bunch of Christians, and it morphed into a state institution, but is still attached to the church, and that creates a very serious problem in this country. If you're going to argue the separation of church and state, well, then
yeah,
I don't know what you're doing. That was always my question when the Prop 8 thing was happening, because they had that musical where Jack Black is like, your nation is built on separation of church and state. And I was like, I mean, if that's true, what power does the state have to regulate an Abrahamic institution?
But is it though? Is it?
Is it what?
Is it really separated? Yeah.
No, it's not.
You're completely right.
Yeah. And so therein lies the big issue where I was like, how is the state going to mandate churches do a thing?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Scientology's a church.
I think the problem was the civil unions that they were talking about back with the Obama days in 08 didn't offer identical rights between gay couples and traditionally married couples. And then I was like, you can't do that. And I think that was the argument they used to actually get gay marriage, because it was equal rights. But I was like, I don't know how you have we have an institutionalized religious component with marriage.
Well, did civil unions not have the same rights as a traditional marriage?
At the time, the argument, because Obama said he was opposed to gay marriage, and he said he was in favor of civil unions. But the activist groups...
So did Hillary.
Right. The activist group said that there were certain rights that were not afforded civil unions as opposed to marriage, and that's why they wanted marriage. And I just said, well, then get those rights to civil unions, and are we happy? And they're like, no, we want the institution. And I was like...
Yeah, well, they want the word. And this is the thing. Yeah. I mean, marriage is... So there are sacramental marriages, but also people who... Marriage predates the... it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. And so I believe it was, and Christians believe it was created by God, but we believe in a concept of natural marriage. It's not that it's specifically in all instances something people do as a matter of their religious faith. It's just that it has a definition, and that definition is that it's a union between man and woman. That's what's one of the instrumental parts of what it means.
Kara May says, quote of the night by yours truly, Lauren, quote, have we really reached equality if people can't marry their dogs? Effing gold. Did you say that?
I think I did. The pappies is hitting.
Yep.
I've said some wild things tonight.
We have fireball downstairs. You know, you don't gotta.
Uh-oh.
How about, you know, no one's cracked open that corn whiskey.
I just found out Waffle House is open 24/7 here, so I'm going there after this.
There is a Waffle House very close by.
Seamus didn't crack the corn whiskey.
Seamus, do you want to drink the corn whiskey at Waffle House with me after
this? Are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
Are you out of your mind?
Rob Matt says, wasn't there incest in the Adam and Eve story?
So much.
I don't think so. No, so...
Well, so the argument is that they had, what, two kids? Cain and Abel?
Cain, Abel, and I think Seth is also mentioned. I don't know if that's an exhaustive list, but yeah.
And no daughters?
That's not a question I can answer. I'm not sure. I need to double check. It's been a while since I've looked at Genesis. I believe Cain, Abel, and Seth are the ones that are mentioned.
Those are dudes, though, right?
Yes, I believe so.
So, like, did they...
No, I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know. I don't have an answer.
There's no mention of any other women, though.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't have an answer. I don't know what the significance of that is. I don't. It's not necessarily an exhaustive list, as far as I understand, of all the children that they have. Yeah, yeah.
But would that imply
Well, no. So we believe that Adam and Eve are the primordial, like they are the first human ancestors, that all human life goes back to the first two people. I'm not sure.
Incest. Two people isn't enough to create a population. That's the issue.
No, I hear what you're saying. I don't have an answer. I don't know.
It says that the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, Abraham marrying his half-sister Sarah, Lot and his daughters, Moses' father Amram, who married his aunt, Jochebed.
Well, sure, and also be careful, too, because I'm sure there's a list of a number of instances here, but just because the Bible is describing something doesn't necessarily mean it's condoning it, so you got to be careful.
Oh, yeah, it's just like explaining that it happened. Yeah, I mean, that was out of necessity. There were like 60 of them. What are they going to do? You know, you got to propagate the species.
All right. What is this? Democratic Detox says Elon SpaceX will help you far-right news people make Trump's face in the moon. Oh, well, thank you. We'll consider it. Murph Try says, Tim, nuking the moon would lead to a Supreme Court case on citizens' rights to nukes under 2A. Let's see if they agree with you. Are you familiar with the Second Amendment, Lauren?
Am I familiar with the Second Amendment?
Are you? Have you ever heard of it?
No. You know, that's
I say people have a right to own nuclear weapons.
Is that the Second Amendment?
Yeah. The right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Does it say except nuclear arms?
The right to bear arms. So true.
Mm-hmm. Bear arms.
Thank goodness.
This is why Tim wants to nuke the moon.
That's why bear arms. Great in this country.
Bear arms. Well, look, if I cannot surgically have arms put onto mine.
I already have bear arms. See, I roll my sleeves up. And that is my right.
Tim likes to bring people into this. It's because, from what I can gather, is that his belief is that technically, legally, we do still have the right. And if they want to take that away or change that, they need to amend the Constitution.
So what would happen if Tim Cast tried to buy a nuke?
I don't know. But I wonder if we got, like, the highest degree of licensing for an FFL. You know, what's the limit?
Cultural enforcement. That's when enforcement takes hold if you start doing stuff like that.
Like, well, Halliburton's got permits. What grants them the right to have these crazy weapons?
Someone was selling a missile silo in, like, Kansas for $300,000 recently.
Yeah, people live in those.
Yeah, it's, like, amazing. You should buy one and have a Timcast missile.
What if I want...
And whenever someone doesn't agree to go on the show, you can be like, hey...
Where in the country am I allowed to have surface-to-air missiles?
Where? I don't know.
So the issue is, at some point, we culturally decided that people had no right to bear arms. And I mean that literally, we used to have privateers with cannons, and all of a sudden now you can't own a destroyer.
Disgusting.
Yeah. It's
I saw someone drifting a tank on Twitter yesterday, and it made me very sad to think I will never drift a tank unless I'm in an active war zone.
There's a guy over here who, like, not that far away owns a tank, and he invited us out.
Is it like a working, like a functional real tank?
Yeah, it is.
So I could drift a tank is what you're telling me.
You can buy a tank if you want. Ooh. Most women, girls, I'm told, like ponies and
hey, babe, are you watching this? I want a tank for my birthday.
I would like a tank. Jay Stewart says, Discworld, definitely a cultural cornerstone. Also, death has bony knees. I didn't realize that, but I'll take your word for it. All right. I don't know if I should read that one. Let's see. Nona says, can you try to get Tim Keller on before he dies to counterbalance your resident papist? Is that how you say it?
Papist.
Papist, yeah.
Who's Tim Keller?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
All right. There was something about a turtle that was really funny, but I think I lost that one. J-Doc says, 11 of 12 apostles were tortured, burned, crucified, beheaded, stoned, drawn and quartered, all died. For what they knew was true, not for what they believed. Interesting.
Yeah, I think governments are totally fine killing their own citizens to get their way sometimes.
Yeah, but the point is, why would someone voluntarily die for a story that they knew not to be true?
Well, I don't know if they voluntarily died.
It's a question of recanting. So if you're martyred, it's because you refuse to give up your faith.
The person that told me that they didn't recant is the government.
Elwood Blues, quote, I want to ask him about the birth rates, Lauren. I have never laughed so hard.
When did I say that?
Were you talking about Jesus?
Did I say that about Jesus?
What was the quote?
I don't even remember
what I said on this show. Someone
mentioned I should get a sword. I do think I need a sword.
Yeah.
Is there a breathalyzer for whether I should need a sword right now?
The Zelda, the Master Sword.
Ooh. Yeah. I like the really sharp one.
No, I don't think you can. No, I literally don't think you can.
Oh, yeah. Rules and regulations for streaming live.
But the Zelda one is a toy.
A nice blunt and
from
beautiful
The Legend of
blade.
Zelda.
It's a toy. All right.
I have meteorite swords behind me. They're forged from meteorite. They're very expensive.
What, serious question, though. Link or Zelda?
What do you mean?
If you had to pick one.
What do you mean? Like, pick one for what?
Yeah,
you
guys,
to play as?
You can't answer, then you
Oh, who's your favorite?
Smash Brothers? Zelda, if we're talking about Melee, where she can transform to Sheik, because Sheik is good.
Absolutely. Noah, Meta Knight is absolutely the most OP.
Meta Knight's
sure,
badass.
Sure, sure. But that's Meta Knight's not in Melee, so...
I gotta go with Link on this one, okay. Just in general.
That is a Maul sword from The Legend of Zelda. I don't know what the sword rules are, but, like, the only stuff we display are prop stuff. Like
So you can't display a real gun behind you?
Yeah, you can't.
Really?
Well, I think you might be able to, but the rules are that display of firearms has to be in an approved setting, and you can't be manipulating or something, but I'm not entirely sure.
So why do I have a toy sword when Seamus gets two steak knives?
Because I'm a trustworthy individual who has proven himself to expertly handle those steak knives.
Those steak knives were for peeling blood oranges.
Who do you think would win? Seamus with two steak knives or me with
the It's not even
sword?
A question. I would win. It's
Depends
not even
how
a
much
question.
Gravity.
It's not even
like
close to being
you're
a question.
On all that kind of stuff.
All right. Let's read some more Super Chats while we still can, huh?
I only need one steak knife.
I wanted to see people talking about Lauren being drunk.
I'm not. I've had one glass cup.
She's drunk.
How was it, by the way, on a scale of 1 to 10?
Eowyn says, for my girl Lauren and Shimcast liquor bill, drink that stuff, yo.
Oh man!
Yeah. See, you see how expensive it is hosting Lauren Southern.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Oh, she called beforehand. She's like, I only drink Pappy.
It's an investment.
Absolutely.
Kevin Nilsson says Twitter comments to PolitiFact denying Biden shaking hands with no one is the funniest thing I've read in a minute. It was amazing. PolitiFact has a tweet that says you may have seen Joe Biden shake hands with thin air. Period. It never happened. Period. And then I'm just like. It is bold of them to say that you saw something, but it never happened.
Don't believe your lying eyes.
Ian.
There is no war in Ba Sing Se.
I am not holding up a pen. You may have seen me hold up a pen. It never happened.
Or, hey, I've got a good one. I am not linking to her address.
Right, right. That's very good, too. Same idea.
All right. Let's see if we can...
I want to quickly correct something. You said it was expensive to get me on this show. Do you know how much my flight cost here?
How much was it?
$34.
What?
Whoa.
$34.
It was still too much. Yeah.
All right. And not a single person. No, there was one person on my flight wearing a mask.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Speaking of masks, my new cartoon. Watch it.
My friends, if you haven't already, smash the like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends. And if you want to see Lauren Southern wielding a $15,000 sword forged from meteorite, go to timcast.com and become a member. I think you wielded the sword last time, too.
She did, yes.
I did. Actually, it's going to be a video of Seamus and I fighting to the death with the steak knives and
It'll
the sword.
No, that is
not
allowed.
I was never voluntarily partaking in something like that. It's an affront
Lauren
to
will
dignity.
Be allowed to wield the $15,000 meteorite sword at timcast.com for the member segment. So sign up if you want to check out that segment. You can follow the show at timcast.irl. You can follow me at timcast. Lauren, what do you want to shout out?
Oh, yeah. Go follow me at Lauren_Southern on Twitter. Lauren Southern on the YouTubes. Yeah, that one.
My name is Seamus Coughlin, which is super easy to spell.
Yes.
I have a YouTube channel called Freedom Tunes. Go check that out. We just released a cartoon today about the mask mandates being repealed for airlines. I think you guys are really going to like it. It's something like 20,000 views ahead of our most viewed video of the last 10 uploads. So the audience is really loving it. I think you guys are going to like it as well.
One of these days, I'm going to hold a crystal ball up to the sky and light a fire from a distance with it, with the sunlight, and prove to you that throwing fireballs is real. So we can reinterpret what, like, magic really is and stuff like that. See you later.
Oh, like a wizard's staff.
Yeah.
I wonder if back in the day, like, had a staff with a crystal and he held it up and started a fire, and they're like, whoa.
Probably took a really long... He'd be like, I will attack you with my fire spell!
5 minutes
like,
later.
The grass starts
like,
to
just
smolder.
Hold still for 20 more minutes.
They always had their groups of them. They had like 15 guys all like aiming it at the same spot or something. The wizards.
Anyway, what Ian said was way more... Okay, Lauren has her sword all up in my shot. I appreciate it.
Oh, is it over your skin?
Yeah.
Blade of wisdom.
Camera, which is hilarious. It's going to be a great after show. Thank you, Ian, for completely throwing me off. I would now like to hold up a crystal and set something on fire. You guys can follow me on Twitter, minds.com, at sourpatchlets, Instagram, at realsourpatchlets, and sourpatchlets.me.
All right, everybody. The tweet I sent to Elon has already 607 retweets.
Yeah.
Retweet.
So, Elon, man, I'm a huge fan. Would love to have him on the show. So, everybody, We will see you all over at timcast.com, and you will see Lauren Southern wielding an expensive sword made from meteorites. Thanks for hanging out, and we'll see you all there.
Bye, guys.